Right, who among you, is this your first time in this august building? Besides the city council. Who else? Anybody? Everyone's been here before? Oh, some of the moms? That's cool. We know Vlesian's been here. She spoke to us not too long ago. So how many of the dancers do we have?
That's a good one, Reese.
Do we have most of them? All of them?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool, man. You guys are far better dressed than the men's dance team, too. It's like those guys are bums.
He doesn't pick on the rifles group, though.
Yeah, the rifle group, those guys are welcome. That's true. I did not pick on
them. Did not pick on the rifle.
That's awesome. Well, the cameras are going to now be rolling, so we will officially call tonight's Committee of the Whole meeting to order. And I will kindly ask that the record reflect that all the aldermen are present this evening. We have a full agenda tonight, but we have perhaps the most enjoyable part of the agenda right off the chute here, and that is to recognize the Geneva High School varsity dance team for their 2009 Class 2A Lyrical State Champions. This is cool, isn't it? Now, ladies, you know this is being broadcast worldwide, correct? No, it literally is. Anybody, anywhere, if they want to hop on the City of Geneva's website, can do so and actually watch these proceedings. So if you've told your families, friends, perhaps past boyfriends who have moved away because of you, they can watch this no matter where they are. In fact, we get people watching from all over the country. And this broadcast will be shown 4 times a day throughout the week. So in case someone did not catch your smiling faces on TV, they have a chance to do so again. Now, I'm going to do something that I'm certain is going to embarrass the heck out of all the dancers. However, I'm going to invite the dancers to please join me up front here. Okay? And if you could, arrange by height, date of birth.
To the guys.
Very cool, isn't it? I feel like Phil Donahue. This is awesome. And if you guys could block out this side of the council, those are the weird ones. Moms and dads, you guys got your pictures. Feel free to come up, get close as you'd like, whatever. So
you can crop the mayor out later.
Yeah, you can crop me out.
Jericho. Wish I would have thought.
I've been working out for a week, for God's sake. So I was at a ribbon cutting prior to coming here tonight. Citizen King had their ribbon cutting and grand opening tonight. So if you haven't been, but be sure to visit our friends, Mr. McCool at Citizen King. And I had told them that we were honoring the dance team tonight. And they said, oh, they're going to perform. No. So, well, because of insurance liabilities, you can. But I'd like each of you to please introduce yourselves. Tell all those listening what year of school you are. If you're a senior, where you hope to go next year. If you are a senior and you want to go somewhere next year, where you hope to study. Sound good? Speak clearly and into the microphone. Okay? You want to hold it yourself.
I'm Amanda Kushney, and I'm a sophomore at Geneva High School.
I'm Marie Pasilio, and I'm a senior, and I hope to go to University of Missouri and study journalism.
I'm Jai Conforti. I'm a senior, and I have no idea where I want to go or what I want to do.
So I'm sure you're pretty good for that.
I'm Amanda Bronia, and I'm a junior.
I'm Amanda Vlesian, and I'm a senior, and I'm hoping to go to Mizzou and maybe study education.
I'm Alexander Freeland, and I'm a sophomore in high school.
I'm Alex Farkas, and I hope to go to the University of Missouri to study elementary education.
Wow.
I'm Michelle Moy, and I'm a senior, and I hope to go to Illinois State University and study early childhood education.
I'm Lauren Sarah, and I'm a sophomore.
I'm Shannon Cody. I'm a senior in high school, and I plan to study international business at the University of London in London, England.
Wow.
London, England. We heard from you earlier in the year, didn't we? Are you part of the student government program or no? London. Why are you heading to London?
My dad's from there. My sister studied over there. So.
Cool, man. That's good living. So this is probably the last time you'll see City Hall.
Maybe.
unless, of course, you hop online and watch. That'd be good.
She has to visit the beef eaters.
Yes, you do. Well, Mr. Singer, she's not quite old enough yet to
visit. In London, she is.
This is Mr. Singer's last meeting as well, so we apologize for... Well, ladies, we have a special gift for you, and I know that it's been a long time coming. We also understand, however, that in, what, just a couple months, moms and dads, that you are competing again, hopefully going to compete again for perhaps the state championship for 2010? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Have I jinxed anything here?
No.
But you qualified for state.
Yes, yes.
And when does that begin, then? When does that process begin?
March
7th. And then it lasts how long? That whole weekend, or... Just one day? So one day, and it's like Sasha Cohn. You do well, you don't, that's it. Far out, man. Well, that's pretty exciting. Ladies, I'm going to ask you to part waters here.
Who's Sasha Cohn?
I've got a special gift for all of you.
I know.
We also have a picture of something we'd like to also put on the screen in just a moment. But this is in recognition of your extraordinary achievement.
Yeah.
And while trying to think of something clever to say, which I know Alderman Piper will make fun of me, but how many of you ladies know who Margaret Graham is?
Oh, God.
Do you know who Margaret Graham is? The famous U.S. choreographer and dancer. Yeah. Do you know, moms and dads know that?
Is anyone else disturbed that the mayor knows that?
She danced until she was 72 years old, and she passed away in 1991. But one of her famous quotes was that dance is the hidden language of the soul. Isn't that cool? I've got tears in my eyes just saying. And if any of you on the council has not been to a basketball game or a football game or any other competition at the high school and has not experienced firsthand the energy and the soul and the excitement and the spirit that these young ladies provide through their performances, you've missed a great deal. So, ladies, congratulations on your achievement. And on behalf of the citizens of Geneva, do I help you, Ms. Farkas? This is in recognition of your outstanding achievement. Now, is your coach here tonight? Well, for goodness sake, come on up. She actually emailed me the wording, so I got to make certain this is all correct. Do you want to say a few words, coaches?
Please do.
I just want to say that I'm Katie Edison, varsity coach, and this is Lauren Thurman, assistant varsity. And we are so proud of these girls. They work so hard. Day in, day out, and last year was so wonderful that we're hoping to repeat it again this year.
Hi, I just want to say we are so unbelievably proud of these girls, and they are so talented, so we just know state this year is going to be amazing. We have seniors from last year, actually captains from last year, who are away at school. So we're upset that they're not here, but they were a big part of our team. Right. So, Brittany Bowers and Katie Beth Wright, Courtney Cameron were all captains, and Rachel Thurman was another senior who played a big part on our team. So.
This looks nice, doesn't it? Now, I've made it, because the city is a, oh, dare I say, a financially strong community, and we are always concerned about how we invest your money, I think the parents and the athletes will appreciate this. Because we have great confidence that you will perhaps bring back another state title, we have left room, as you can see, here. We'll just simply move this over and then put 2010 there.
Yes.
And then these suckers will go up all... I shouldn't say suckers, should I? Sorry. These signs will go up all throughout the community, okay? Sound good? But until you bring back that 2010 championship, we'll delay putting these up until March, okay? Just so you know. Got it?
Excellent.
Okay. And if you guys want a photo in front of this, by all means, moms and dads, help yourselves. We're here all night. We're government employees, so we have nothing else to do. So it's good.
You need some help?
During the holidays.
Ralph, you want in the picture?
Ralph?
Okay.
The 5%?
I didn't know that there was anything.
Ralph? All right, you're not on the
Not anymore.
Sure, don't read things. Yeah, what's tonight? Yeah, wine tasting, but what's this? Northern Bank food?
You guys all know Mr. Pleasure who invented Bill's there? The microphones are off over there, so I'll say.
The microphones are back on. Thank you all for indulging us while we honor those young ladies. We appreciate that very much. And you'll notice, for those of you watching at home, that I skipped over the first item, which is item one. It is a consent agenda. All items marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine and can be enacted by one motion.
So moved.
Second.
Minutes.
The minutes are consent.
Oh, the minutes, yeah. Sure.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Great. Item 3B, consider the draft resolution awarding contract to Bish Excavating in the amount of $176,000, that's correction, $176,960.71 for the Dunston Road Storm Sewer Project.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Vogelsberg. Questions or comments? Alderman Marks.
Just one question. I noticed in our packet that we weren't using one of the lower bids because they weren't IDOT approved. Is that the standard that we use for this? I just wanted to make sure.
Hi. Yes, from what I understand, this is a common practice of the engineering division is to put a pre-qualification to make sure that anyone picking up the specifications and plans has the right kind of equipment and the right experience to do the work.
So we just piggyback the IDOT, even though it's not an IDOT road, we just use those guidelines for what we use for our bidding.
Yes, because they've already reviewed the contractors and determined that they are qualified to do this type of work.
Okay. I just wanted to verify that.
Alderman Flanagan, and then Pollack.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess I just need some kind of clarification because I know that we budgeted, or it was supposedly budgeted for $80,000, and it seems like now it's an exorbitant figure, like more than double.
Yes.
And so can you give me kind of, is there some reasoning for this, or is it just this company, or is it just the whole industry, or how does it work?
It was the project. The project initially had been conceived to be a ditch cleaning and grading project, and as they went through and talked to the residents and looked at the project a little more, and this happened before I came here, they made the determination that cleaning the ditch and regrading it was not really what was wanted or really was the best solution, so they moved to a storm sewer. So they're regrading the pond that's over on Western Avenue and then taking the water out of there with a storm sewer and down Dunston into an existing system at Cheever. So it did cost more, but it was what fit the neighborhood and it was a better solution for handling the drainage.
So the green line is where you have to go to or from or on the map? On the map that was included in our packet? It seems like an awful long run.
It is. It's about a quarter of a mile.
And there's no other way to do that?
That's correct. That was the closest sewer. I think that's probably why there always was a drainage problem in this area, and I've looked back through the history, and my staff has informed me. This whole area always has had drainage issues, and it probably was because there was such a lack of storm sewer in the area.
And you don't think that doing the great, not the
culvert.
Grading culvert, great, yeah, whatever, would help in this situation rather than expending so much of our tax dollars for it?
One of the problems with grading the ditch was there's an extensive tree cover over there, and to do the job properly, you would end up removing almost all the trees along there, which creates somewhat of a landscape screen right now for the neighborhood, and they were adamantly against us going in and removing all the trees, and you couldn't necessarily put the trees back because then it would end up the same way eventually. They fall over, they block the drainage, and so they lose their screen, and because of the grades also, you get a better flow of the water by putting in the storm sewer. It's just cleaner, it's easy to maintain, and you're getting a better flow. And we're able to lower the pond on Western, which is also a problem. It's been holding water. Really, right now, it doesn't work well because the ditch is so, it's got so much vegetation in it, but right now it is designed for the water to come out of that pond and go down that ditch. And if you go to the pond is very wet and it holds water and it's backing up across Western, so by lowering that pond, not only can we dry it out, prevent water from backing over onto the western side of Western, but we get the pipe coming out of there then deeper and flowing down to Cheever, which we couldn't do with the ditch.
So you're basically tackling two problems at one time?
Yes, exactly. This is two actual issues. It's the pond on Western that's always caused a problem that actually pushes a problem even further to the west of Western Avenue, and then it's also the issues along Dunston.
Okay, yeah, because I wasn't really too, I was shocked, I guess.
It was just a change in the design approach based on input from the residents and then looking at the drainage in the area with different solutions.
Okay, thank you.
Alderman Pollack and then Piper.
Thank you, Mayor. Pam, when you talk about the residents, are we talking about the houses on the east side of Dunston?
Yes.
So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 houses affected?
Yes.
That's it?
Yes, from what I understand, they actually own the property on where the red is at. A lot of them own part of that too, which we would require their cooperation to go on their property to grade the ditch. So they're very invested in this project.
Well, I think I need a point of clarification. I asked if it was on the east side of Dunston,
yes.
And you said yes.
Yes, the homes affected are on the east side because the landscape screen was created for the benefit of the residents on the east side across the street. I know it seems probably sounds unusual, but this is an old plat, and that was actually supposed to be platted that way to create, and I think it's because...
Like there was a railroad right
of
way there.
Exactly, that's why.
Correct. And so the initial cost was $80,000. That was the estimate. We put it out to bid, and the bids came back at $170,000. And because there's not enough money in this year's budget, you're going to use this year's and next year's to fund it. Is that correct?
We are doing that, but the reason is not because of the cost necessarily. We still would have enough money in the CIP this year to fund the whole thing. But the reason we're straddling both fiscal years is really more because of the construction schedule. Even though we're bidding it out early and we're awarding it early, we don't anticipate that they can get out there right now. They would not be able to do grading work because of the ground being frozen and because of the wet ground. So we anticipate that probably more in spring will be when they start. There's also a gas main utility we have to work with the gas company on relocating. So we don't anticipate the project really being completed until closer to summer. And therefore, we're in the next fiscal year for payments.
Okay. Now, about $170,000, is that inclusive or exclusive of engineering costs?
The $176,000 is exclusive. We had signed a contract with ERA to do engineering, and we have some left in that fund, and we're anticipating that the only engineering we'll need from a consultant at this point is layout, the construction staking, and so we hope to use any additional funds that we would have with their contract, which we'd anticipated to pay for that.
Okay.
All the other inspection and engineering will be done in-house.
Now, on a citywide basis, is this an absolutely critical project that must be accomplished, in your opinion?
Again, I'm going off what's been told to me since I don't have a background. Do you want to address it then, Dan, the history?
I'll say yes.
No, the reason I ask is because it's five houses, and I can think of two examples where residents have been told if they want a storm sewer, it's going to cost them $14,000. So
let me just clarify what this project will benefit. It's more than just the five houses on the east side of Dunston. The houses along the, as far as the screening and all that, as Pam had said, the pond that is just north of the substation on Western Avenue does not drain well, and it affects the properties on the west side of Western Avenue all the way up along Sherwood Lane. So it's benefiting those properties.
Well, how does it affect them, Dan?
That pond does not drain, therefore it backs up. If you go this spring, if you go out there during a big storm, not even a big storm necessary, but the gentleman directly to the west will have a pond in his front yard, and then it actually carries on along the properties along the south side of Sherwood, and their backyards also flood out. So it's actually going to improve, and that's how the project kind of expanded. Originally, we were just looking at doing a ditch cleaning and regrading, but then we were getting complaints from the guys on the west side of Western,
and we were looking at the pond and said, we need, if we're going to do this, we should do it right and take care of the pond, help the people on the west side of Western Avenue. We're also, by putting in the storm sewer, able to benefit the people on the east side of Dunston by putting in storm sewer. We can leave, they've got low areas that do not drain. They can connect into that storm sewer, so it'll take care of the properties on both sides of Dunston and both sides of Western Avenue. So it's bigger than just the five.
So this is a mitigation plan for the area,
region, not area, just... Right. This has been on the books for many years. We actually have deferred it over and over and over. We finally had it in the budget this past year. Unfortunately, it grew larger than we anticipated, but we feel it's necessary to get this project taken care of. It actually will help relieve some of the storm sewer issues along Sunset, because right now, if you look at the drainage area, it goes all the way to Sunset, and there's people on Sunset looking for improvements as well.
Okay, thank you.
Alderman Piper, then Alderman Maladra.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Dan, that was just basically what you said is what I was going to say, because we've discussed this quite a few times, and I know this has been deferred, and I've been out there and walked it after the rain, and the west side there of Western Avenue gets an enormous amount of water, almost to that, the one house that you see across from the retention pond, almost up to his front door. It's bad. I know that we talked originally about grading that out. I'm glad to see that it's going to be taken care of completely so we can do a one and done and get out and be done mess with every few years. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Mr. Maladra?
Yeah, my comments were along the same lines. This is not being done to benefit four or five houses and keep their screening. It's one part of a multi-part project or a multi-part solution, I guess I should say. And if you shortchange one part of that, the whole thing will just crumble. So this is the right way to go.
From the dais, Alderman Marks.
I guess this is probably a question more for Mary. You know, we haven't had a chance to look at any part of the budget yet for next year. Are you comfortable with us putting that in as a capital improvement next year? I mean, do you feel that the money's going to be there for that?
Yes. Yes, we've talked about carrying some of our CIP over from this year to next year and including this project so that it is actually occurring next year, but knowing that it's going forward at this point in time. So, yeah, it does overlap, but yes. I
just wanted to make, you know, because we haven't had that opportunity, yes. And you probably have. So the $80,000 from this year is just going to be rolling over to next year, and then we're going to add the additional 90-some thousand to
it
looks like.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mr. Dantino.
Did I hear Pam say that we had enough money in this year's budget for this whole project? Or?
Your mic's not up.
In our contingency funds, we have enough to fund it this year. But in reality, it's going to cover this year and next year.
In terms of complete construction?
Right. We'll be doing payouts, most likely. We'll have some payouts this fiscal year through April 30th, but the project will continue into May and June, so we'll have payouts next fiscal year as well. That's why we have that covering two fiscal years.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else on the dais? Ms. Flanagan?
Thank you very much. Does this cost cover engineering at all, or is that on top of this? Or
we actually, as Pam stated, we hired ERA to do survey work. We actually did the design in-house. So the contract, I can't remember what the contract was, but whatever contract we have enough in there to be able to hire them to do the construction staging, staking in that. Other than that, it's going to be all done by Pam and her crew.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Dan? I'm sorry. What was the actual bid from the contractor that was not IDOT pre-qualified?
I'm not sure if we're legally allowed to read that. I mean, I would prefer to have the attorney's opinion, because there's a lot of legalities with releasing information about a bidder that you throw out the bid. I'm not sure we can legally even put that in there.
Well, if it's
we
not
can
an
get
IDOT
it
project.
To you on the side, but publicly, I feel very hesitant about releasing something that I think could cause us some legal issues.
We can provide you the information outside of the meeting.
All right. Thanks. Okay.
Mr. Dantino?
If there was some money for relocation, whose expense does that come under?
That would be at NICOR's. They're in our right-of-way.
And if the bid was $176,000, why did we estimate a cost of $214,000 on that?
Our engineer's estimate, you mean?
No, the bid was $170,000.
Yes.
But on the
estimated cost. That's the next one. It was 80 originally.
Cancel that question.
Anyone else in the dais?
Substation.
Anyone else in the audience? We have a motion by Hill and a second by Vogelsberg to approve item 3B as written. Madam Recording Secretary, if I could trouble you to take the roll call, I would appreciate it.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Bill Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
John Vogelsberg?
Aye.
The motion passes unanimously. Item 3C, and before I actually read this item, just so all of you who had not picked up or received an updated copy of the agenda item 3C should be a request in the amount of $214,650, not $441,500, which was originally in our packet. So with that said, item 3C is to consider draft resolution authorizing the execution contract with Hooper Corporation in the amount of $214,650 for the Western Avenue Substation Expansion Project.
So moved.
Second.
Piper makes the motion and Maladra makes the second. Questions or comments? Mr. Pollack and then Mr. Marks.
Thank you, Mayor.
We have Hal White with us tonight. Hal, how's it going, man?
Doing good. How are you?
Good.
Hal, if you can just briefly explain what the expansion consists of, because when I read the Stanley report, it didn't really identify why we're doing what we're doing.
Thank you.
Presently, Western Avenue Substation is protected on the incoming line with fuses. We have a breaker that's left over from some work that was done at Geneva Business Park Substation for the generation. We'd like to put that breaker in at Western Avenue Substation, provide better protection for the equipment. It'll operate faster. It'll reduce the amount of available energy and protect our employees better in case there is a fault.
So is it an expansion or is it just a technical upgrade?
When the project was first conceived, it was a technical upgrade and an expansion. The engineer picked up on expansion and named it that way. The project has been reduced in its scope, and right now it's just a technical upgrade.
Okay, thank you.
Just to add to that,
sure.
The wooden fence surrounding the yard will be replaced as part of this in place in its existing location.
And I also see that you had 6 competitive bids, so way to go.
Times are tough.
That they are.
Mr. Marks and Ms. Flanagan?
That was my question, actually, just to have an understanding of the project.
Ms. Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a quick question. I noticed when I was reading through the packet, it said fixing errors or engineering mistakes. Do we have those a lot? I don't know why they put it in there, so kind of set up a red flag.
That's I think that's traditional liability.
Okay. That was all. Thank you.
Anyone else? Questions for Mr. Wright from the audience?
There was one more question. I'm sorry.
Oh, sure.
I'm so sorry. When is this going to start and when is it going to finish? I don't know if I saw that.
Start date would be mid-February. It should be done by June 1st.
Thank you.
Mr. Piper.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Hal, have we worked with Hooper before?
Yes, Hooper built South Street Substation for us, did an excellent job. They also did Geneva Business Park, too.
Good. As long as we've got some track record, that's great. Thank you.
They're Packer fans.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Hal, it's always a pleasure to see you, man.
Hey, I'm here for the next one. You might as well move on.
Very much of a pleasure. We have a motion by Piper and a second by Maladra. All in favor of item 3C with the corrected amount of $214,650, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Great. Item 3D Consider draft resolution authorizing acceptance of quote for decorative streetlight bases for 3rd Street in the amount of $8,100.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Motion by Brown, second by Mr. Piper. Questions for Mr. Wright, who is one of our nation's foremost experts on decorative bases. I don't know if you knew that or not.
It's on his business cards.
It is. DB, decorative base guy. Paul Eichen Brown.
Just so we cover all the bases here, Hal. Those that are damaged, how were they damaged, and are we replacing the damaged bases with the same kind, or are we upgrading the bases?
Replacing with the same kind. They've been in place for quite a while. I can't really speak to how they were damaged. The bolting mechanism and the tabs inside that allow them to be bolted together, some of them were broken off whenever we removed them to have them painted. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that was done installation, snow removal operations, mowing operations. I'm not sure quite how it happened, but that's what we discovered.
All right. But if it was damaged in an accident by, tortfeasor, we would have pursued a claim for the damage to it?
Certainly, and we would have replaced it at that time.
Okay. Thank you.
Dr. Brown, then Mr. Piper.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's certainly true that a number of these bases around town are looking a little ugly at this point. Some of them are broken. There's a lot of paint peeling off. And I almost get the impression that we may be penny wise and pound foolish, that I would have expected them to last a lot longer and not have peeling paint. Is there some problem with the anodizing of the surfaces or something that you say tabs are breaking off? That shouldn't happen. And all the paint peeling, is that just a matter of age, or is there something wrong with their process?
That's an excellent question.
You've noticed, I think, that a lot of them have peeling paint, and it really looks kind of ugly to have a black base with shiny aluminum spots showing through.
They're a large base. They're a cast aluminum base. They're not very thick, just for weight savings. Whether or not there's a problem with their process, we did send them back to the manufacturer and on the ones on 3rd Street, and they recoded them for free. I think we paid shipping back and forth. So they're trying to stand behind their product. The fact that they're broke, I'm not sure how it happened, so I can't say if that's related to a problem with the base or a problem with the care that's being taken around those bases.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're aware of the problem and worrying about it, because this could be a perfect case of, you know, being penny wise and spending a few less dollars and getting a product that was less effective than a slightly more expensive product. But I sure hope you can make them look a little better, because some of them are getting a little ugly, and we're sure you'll agree with me on that.
Oh, I agree.
Thank you for following up on this. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Mr. Piper, then Ms. Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A couple quick questions. One, Hal, is there different types of bases out there that you can get, or is it kind of one? Is it like a catalog item that we order, or what? I don't know what the situation is with that.
For this particular pole and this particular product that we've used all around town to get a base that looks like the rest of the ones we have, we're pretty well stuck with this company. There may be one other out there that's similar.
Okay.
But we went through quite a process many, many years ago when I was just a wee young lad with the city. And we had the city council vote off on what style of light they liked best, and I even did a substantial amount of research at the Historic Society to come up with something that matched and had historic significance for lights that were 100 years old.
Because I'm all for what Alderman Brown is stating, but I think we're kind of stuck, unfortunately, where we've pigeonholed ourselves into a certain base that we have to get. So as long as they're trying to stand behind them, we can talk them into getting more of them. Mr. Mayor, this may not be the time for this question, but I think it bears maybe some discussion, maybe not today, but things like this that come up that are under 10 grand, do we really need to bring a staff in for these? I mean, I know that we always have, but I think at some point, shouldn't we, you know, under $10,000, do we need to have a vote for to have staff spend that kind of money?
Well, it's not the time for that debate, but
right.
there will be a time for that discussion moving forward. Other aldermen and I have discussed the very issue as well, that, you know, we should put perhaps greater faith in our department heads to invest monies. Yeah, I agree. So.
let you know, that is on my list that I'm working on, because I've talked to, I know, Alderman Marks about this before, and a couple of other aldermen as well, to update our bidding code, which also rolls in the thresholds where what we need to do for a certain amount of dollar expenditures. And the state statutes have been updated since our code was updated, so I've been looking to that, and I'd be happy to bring something back. The state now says that anything under $20,000 basically doesn't have to go through the old process. But I will look to that and bring back some information if the council would like.
Well, I think it would be great for staff, too. I think it would speed things up. Hal, you wouldn't have to submit to us and wait for 2 weeks of votes, and you'll get your bases and move on. So.
Well, Hal already ordered the stuff.
He's going to apologize, rather.
He knows this council so well, he's a big fan of the Hill.
He's also paid for them, I understand.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I believe Ms. Flanagan and Ms. Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was going to ask the same question if there was only one source, but then it led me to thinking about another question I have. If you buy those, I hate to even say this, because we're just kind of thinking that it's going to, those bases are going to fail, but if you buy them in more quantities, would it be cheaper? Just a thought.
We don't use that many to buy
okay.
quantities.
Well, that's good, I guess, so. Yeah. Thank you.
Ms. Vogelsberg?
Oh, thank you. I was just going to say that I thought we had the State Street Design Guidelines, that all the light fixtures and poles are... so that you have to follow that. So that's why we have to have the certain ones. Because like you said, we saw the guidelines, we talked about it a lot, and now that that's what we're following. So thank you.
Mr. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Hal, do you know which are the specific locations for these three that you're having to replace?
I'm sorry, I'd have to get back to you on that.
All right. Are any of them on property that is mowed by perhaps people who work for the county, for Kane County, or are they taken care of by our crews?
I can't answer that question.
I've seen some differences in mowing practices, quite frankly. And on Campbell Street, as a matter of fact, just the first... set of lights or trees west of 3rd Street, and the county mows right up to the edge rather than any berm that may have been created.
I appreciate you bringing it to my attention. I'll take a look at that.
Bumping into the trees and the poles, so okay. That might be some of the problems.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I thought it was your skateboarding scene.
Oh.
It's the dance team. They're out there dancing all over the streets. It's unbelievable. Questions from the audience? Who are these three guys over here to the left? Fascinating. Hey, you're back. Welcome back. Come on up. You're always hiding behind the speaker, for God's sake.
Good thing.
It is a good thing.
The quick question I had is the funds for these bases, which budget are they coming out of? General fund, electric fund, or the downtown partners?
Electric fund.
Okay.
Yeah. And just for the record, just so we have your name again, because a lot of people call and say, my God, who is that handsome guy?
Right.
And I feel bad not knowing your name.
My name's Jerry Cass.
Oh, I thought you were somebody different. Sorry.
Yeah, that's right. Jerry. Thank you.
I'm just kidding you, Jerry. Hal, you know Jerry, don't you?
Well, why introduce him, Kyle?
Yeah, Jerry works at St. Charles. He's here all the time, man.
He's there.
He said you look a lot better younger than you do now when you were here last time we were discussing this.
It's tough.
We need to get together and have a discussion.
I'm afraid of you, Mr. Wright. You're a lot bigger than I am. Anyone else? Questions at all? Mr. Broviak, anything? Notice Pam Broviak's husband's with her again tonight? Last time the fear of coming to that meeting at Public Works decided to come back. We have a motion, folks, by, according to my notes, Brown, seconded by Piper. All in favor of item 3D, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you, Hal.
Thank you.
Item 3E, consider approval granting license to AT&T for installation, maintenance, and operation of telephone facilities at the corner of James and 8th Streets in Geneva, Illinois.
So moved. Second.
Singer makes the motion, and Mr. Marks makes the second. Questions or comments for our city engineer, Ms. Bilviak? You scared the hell out of him last time.
But wait a minute, I have a question.
All in favor of the motion as offered by Singer and seconded by Marks, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Your finest presentation yet, Ms. Jim. Item 3F, review and consider a draft ordinance approving site plan review and plan unit development for Delnor Community Hospital.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Marks. Questions or comments? Pretty straightforward. Any of the applicants here tonight to speak to the issue? You have to speak to the issue, but any questions at all? What are you doing in the third row, man?
Just
crowded when
we got here.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, we just had to wing that sign right away. Alderman Singer, then Brown, then Flanagan.
I would like to say just...
Please come on up to the mic and join us. I know it seems a little formal, but we get a lot of hate mail. They always want to know who you guys are.
Well, I'm Mark Larson. I'm the head of construction at Delnor. Actually, I'm leaving Delnor, and my replacement, John Maurer, is here in the audience, too.
When are you leaving?
Next week's my last week. But I wanted to thank the city. We worked with the city staff, both Dick Hunch and Dave DeGroote and the guys over at Public Works. And we had a lot of meetings up front on this one, and this has been the smoothest one, so I just wanted to say thanks.
You just chinked it.
That's nice to hear.
Well, yeah, Mr. Larson, you've received a number of kudos as well from our staff and a lot of our constituents in Fisher Farms, who most recently have had some concerns, if you will, and you've been Johnny on the spot in correcting those. So, well done.
Thank you.
Yeah. Alderman Singer, the floor is yours, then Alderman Brown, then Alderman Flanagan.
Yes. The product that you're going to be developing in that area, of course, is in Alderman Flanagan in my ward. Mm-hmm. And I've had some concerns at this present time that have been expressed to me as well by some of my constituents in the area, that in the past, when construction was going on and redeveloping and your products out there at the hospital, that some of the construction was beginning rather early in the morning, much earlier than you were supposed to.
We know that the time limit is 7 o'clock on weekdays, 8 o'clock on Saturday.
Yes.
And I passed that along to Mr. Maurer. I personally came in after we had complaints early every morning. I was in by at least 6:30 every morning, checking, making sure when we did the West Edition was the last time that we had complaints.
Mm-hmm.
Our mutual friend.
Yes.
Yeah, and I've worked really hard with Jeff on a number.
I know you have.
I have. And I'm positive that John's going to carry that on. I can't tell you that, we're not going to have some contractor who hasn't been on site before show up early. That happens, but we're going to address it, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure that doesn't happen.
It's John, you say?
John Maurer.
Mr. Maurer, will you make certain that I have a number that I can reach you at 5 o'clock in the morning?
You've already got it.
Have you accepted the job, Mr. Maurer?
Yes, sir. He's going to be at the same phone number I was at.
Okay. All right, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Dr. Brown, Ms. Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You're the right person, I believe, to answer this. If we believe any of the predictions of the climate people, rain events are going to become more severe. And over the years, Delnor has continued to pave over more and more of their campus with new parking lots. This building will have parking lots, et cetera. Do you happen to know whether the original retention pond there, which is a beautiful giant retention pond, was designed for the ultimate build-out of Delnor or not, considering 100-year rainfalls, which are occurring every few years now?
I'm not sure the exact number, but I think it's 1.4 or 1.6 acre feet we have left of capacity in the pond. What that means is, yes, it is something we have to be concerned with for the future, but for right now, we believe the capacity is there, and it's something we did review with the staff over at Public Works.
And, so this particular project has gone through the water review, and it is subtracting from your remaining water capacity.
That is correct.
And Mr. Dinges is shaking his head in the right direction. So thank you, Mr. Dinges. Thank you for your response.
But that is something that we are concerned with for the future, and maybe we will have to address. Now, on this particular project, one of the things we did is we put in some swale areas. Now, we don't get credit with the city currently for that, but we're hoping that that does allow the groundwater to absorb into the ground without reaching the pond to help alleviate those problems. Right now, there is no mechanism within the city to give credit for that type of thing. Also, we didn't do it on this project, but we've considered in the past green roofs, which, you know, I think, you know, if I can get on my soapbox for a minute, Mayor, I think it's something you guys should consider is, you know, whether those are things you could look to for the future to help alleviate these kind of problems.
So green roofs and permeable parking lots are something that a lot of people are turning to, and I guess we have nothing in our code at the moment for those. Is that correct, Mr. Dinges? We don't give people credit for either permeable parking lots or green roofs.
Yeah, we don't give credit for them.
Right. Yes, you're right. We should think about that in the future. But at the moment, given our current laws, you are still well within the limits.
Correct. Thank you.
Appreciate that.
In fact, any runoff for the new addition actually goes to Dunstan Street. Randall Road.
It's good to hear.
I'm sure I'll hear from the pospisils on that one. So, Ms. Flanagan?
Thank you. I just had a quick question. On the, when you're traveling on Williamsburg going east, before you get to the new facility, is there going to be a right-hand turn lane there?
There's a right turn into this project as
okay.
you approach Randall from the west going east.
Yeah, right. I couldn't see it on here, so
and,
I wasn't quite sure.
Because of a conflict with the Commons, which is right across, there's a drive that's
right,
across from it.
Yeah.
And so the left turns would have conflicted, so we could only do a right turn in and a
right turn out. But then along the stretch going eastbound, there is a right-hand turn lane that's going to go on to, I forgot the name of this street, Del Norte Avenue or something, or lane, or? Del Norte Lane is the one that goes
Del
down here, right?
Del Norte is the one that goes north and south and to the east of the site, correct?
Okay.
But that's going to be the two-way traffic onto that.
Right. Okay,
sure,
and so there's no need for a right-hand turn lane, is what I'm saying, an additional turn lane.
Oh, to do stacking off of Williamsburg onto that was reviewed, and I don't believe that the extra traffic, and I think Dan and his staff would agree with me.
Okay.
It wasn't something that they recommended.
Okay.
But the capacity for stacking is there now.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else on the dais? So, well, you know, the $60,000 question is, where are you going, man?
I'm from Michigan, and I'm looking to relocate back to Michigan.
No kidding. Wow. Well, good luck to you. That's awesome.
Thank you, sir.
And Mr. Ma, where are you from, big guy?
Norway.
Oh.
Norway. Is that near Kankakee? Norway, Illinois?
Route 71. Right?
Route 71. Fantastic. Well, welcome to the Tri-Cities. Don't let Mr. Singer scare you. He's really kind of a gentle guy.
But he will call you at
5 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's not an international call either. I don't care if you're living in Norway or not. We'll call you. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Folks, our last item tonight is item 3G, and what I'd like to do is not entertain a motion at this time, but for those watching at home, the item is to consider approval of water and sewer rate study by Rempe Sharp Engineers. We'd like to invite our friends from Rempe Sharp to make the presentation. Following that presentation,
obviously you gentlemen, and I know Director Dingus will be available, and I think Mr. Van Gescom will be available to also answer any questions that the committee has, and anyone in the audience might have. But let's please try to avoid preempting the presentation with questions during the presentation, just wait till afterwards. So.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Good. Welcome.
Thank you.
Click a couple of these lights. Look at this, Bobby. You got batteries here, big guy.
Wow. Is that in the budget?
No, it was not. This was coming from St. Charles.
Native.
Water fund.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Night, everybody.
Thank you. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. My name is Timothy Graham. I'm with Rempe Sharp Engineers. I'm here with Bill Game from our office, and here to present the Phase 1 cash flow projections of the water and sewer rate study that we've done, and hopefully present our findings and clarify any questions that anybody has on the report.
And as a courtesy to those watching at home, and oftentimes I'll get this request, make certain that you're speaking directly into that microphone.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes the clarity is questionable. Particularly for our friends from Norway, they can't see
Can you hear me?
Okay. That's awesome. Thank you very much.
Well, some of you councilmen may be familiar with how we've set the water and sewer rate study up before. We've done this in two phases where we do cash flow projections in phase one, and in phase two we do a cost of service analysis and a rate development study. And the reason we do that is that we give the opportunity for everybody to review how the cash flow looks and how we can set up estimates for projections for additional revenue. The purpose of the cash flow projections is to provide the opportunity to look at what additional revenue requirements are needed to ensure that the utility is able to recover total cash needs for a given projection period, meaning will there be enough revenue for over the study period under current rates, and if not, how much additional revenue is needed. So basically we're going to summarize the current water and sewer. We're going to determine whether the adequacy of the current water and sewer rates, and if existing rates are insufficient, how much additional revenue is needed. And our study period is from now through 2012-2013, and what we're looking for the cash flow projections is minimum end of year cash reserve goal of $1.5 million. Components of the cash flow projections: operating and non-operating revenue, O&M expenses, debt service payments, and capital expenditures, and all of those are summarized in the appendices in the report. Projections of revenue. We base our projections of revenue from historical consumption data, and what we use is a typical precipitation year. That's one of the biggest factors for determining water consumption. During higher years of annual precipitation, you have an inverse relationship with water consumption. You have lower water consumption, and in drier years, you have a little bit higher consumption. We selected, after discussions with city staff, the fiscal year of 2007-2008, which was an average precipitation year. Recent trends that have affected consumption over the last few years, when compared with our previous rate study, in fiscal year 08-09 and also in the beginning of 09-10, we've had very much greater than normal precipitation, which has affected consumption quite a bit. Also, there's been a number of rate increases over the past number of fiscal years, which may be affecting what people are using as far as water. They may be conserving a little bit more with higher rates. Also, current economic conditions, as compared to when we previously did the water and sewer rate study, I think it was back in 2007, economic conditions have changed. Projections for additional customers has gone down quite a bit. As far as what we're seeing, there's a little bit more conservation of water, probably due to current economic conditions. And then also, there's been a fairly significant loss of consumption due to the loss of King County Jail. And in order to kind of account for the uncertainty of economic conditions and these factors, after discussing with staff, we've looked at reducing the average consumption from the precipitation year by 6% to give a little bit more of a conservative approach to what we would project for future years for consumption. This table just shows rainfall versus water usage to give you an idea. 30-year normals for this area is 38 inches total annual rainfall. And as you can see in fiscal year 05-06, we had a very dry year. Total annual water usage of that year was 136 million cubic feet. And compare that with last fiscal year 08-09, we had a very wet year of 50.8 inches, and the annual water usage decreased quite a bit, down to 113.7 million cubic feet. And then as we're seeing in the beginning of fiscal year 09-10, May through August only, 16.3 inches, which is well above norm of 9.6 inches, and that's the corresponding reduction in water usage. We're estimating about 110 million cubic feet of water use for this year. Other projections of revenue, we look at number of customers and connection fees for all customer classes, what additional development would be expected. After talking with development department and city staff, development is so uncertain, it's difficult to predict whether should we add additional customers for our projections. Will there be a decrease in customers? It's so uncertain. It was decided that we will use flat growth for number of customers over the entire study period. One thing to point out here, connection fee and interest revenue has dropped pretty significantly between now and the last study that was done. Fiscal year 05-06, interest and connection fee revenue was about $800,000, and fiscal year 08-09, it's dropped down to about $125,000. So the projections shown in Appendix C reflect the lower non-operating revenue, and basically the user rates will have to account for that decline in non-operating revenue. Projections of operating and maintenance expenses were provided by city staff. That's indicated in Appendix D through I. Debt service is also indicated in the appendices, Appendix J, showing the schedules for the various loans and bonds that are outstanding. And then Appendix K shows capital expenditures that were projected by city staff. After summarizing all of that data, we were able to provide projections for end-of-year balances. This table or bar chart shows projections for end-of-year balances using current rates and also including the 6% reduction in consumption that we're estimating. And as you can see, if you look, the yellow bar is the minimum end-of-year balance of $750,000 for the water account, and the blue shows the end-of-year projections. And you can see in 10-11, fiscal year 10-11, we're projecting lower than $750,000. And then 11-12 and 12-13, we've got a pretty sharp decline in end-of-year balances being projected. Same thing for a sewer account. This is using current rates, minimum $750,000 end-of-year balance, and we're projecting through 10-11, meeting minimum end of year balances, and then in fiscal year 11-12 and 12-13, the sewer account would experience lower than minimum balances. And then this is just a composite of water and sewer, showing the same thing in fiscal year 11-12 and 12-13, that the minimum end of year balance would dip below $1.5 million. So after reviewing that, we got an estimate of what additional revenue would be required to offset that difference. And rate trial A that we're presenting here is one of several trials that we looked at after meeting with the city staff. We were estimating for water a estimated increase of 5% for each year of the study, and then for sewer, estimated increases of 4.25%. And these would reflect, again, the minimum end of year or the minimum additional revenue required to meet the $1.5 million combined water and sewer. And this bar chart again shows reflecting the 5% increase in each year. In yellow, the minimum $750,000 balance. And then you can see there's a slight, we're slightly below $750,000 for 10-11, 11-12, but that shortfall is made up in the water and sewer fund, and the extra reserves that are in the sewer fund, excuse me. Same thing for the sewer, 4.25% increase in each fiscal year, and we're showing that we're meeting minimum end of year balances for each year. And then the composite showing 5% for water and 4.25% for sewer for each fiscal year. Where do we go from here? This again is, these are estimates for additional revenue that is required based on our projections. What we would ask is that you direct us to consider additional alternatives other than what we've presented, or approve the cash flow projections as we have them as set forth in the report, and authorize us to proceed with phase two cost of service study and rate determination with the intent of considering rates at the next COW meeting. Questions?
Sure, we'll have several questions. Bob, are you ready to field questions now?
No. At this time, I'd like to do my own presentation.
Okay.
A little bit added on to what Tim did. Maybe it's definitely going to go over some of the same things that he did and kind of give you a little bit more of a feeling on, from a city staff position, what we've done and kind of where we want to go from here.
Great.
Let me get out of here. When we started seeing the revenues declining, like they did the last couple of years, we were not feeling like, you know, it is what it is, we can't do much about it. We were looking at different things that you know, could account for these type of things, and it may seem simple, but that's where we start. Is the billing correct? Are we charging the correct amount to our customers with the rate increases that we've had? You could easily see how something like that could happen. We definitely verified with Don Weiss and Finance and verified that those amounts are correct. One other thing that went through my mind very seriously is, you know, we rely on meter readers to go out there to every single home and every single business. And did something happen within their handhelds to where certain customers were not being read. Just very obvious type of things, but we wanted to make sure that everybody was being accounted for. One thing to note is that in the future, what we're doing is all the addresses now are in the GIS system. That was one very positive thing that came out of this is now we take every single month, every single customer's consumption is recorded. We have that, and in the future we're going to be able to look at that in more detail and see if there's certain economic conditions in a subdivision. Maybe it's a high-end subdivision that might have some more let's say to where they're not using their automatic sprinklers. Okay, is that something that's going to account for it? Whatever it may be, we'll be able to track that a little bit better. So that's one thing that came out of that. But I just wanted to start off with that we did look at some other avenues to see, hey, are we missing something? Tim pointed out it's not a 50-year average, it's a 30-year average, but precipitation was a major factor. Tim already explained that, but going to some of the details that we found with the residential and commercial automatic sprinkler systems, you can see in 2005 we had a total on hand or in our system of 357, and 15 of those were not active. So that related to 4.2%. 2006, 488 was in our system. 25 were not active, so that was 5%. In 2007, a total of 521, in which 448 were not active. And I'll skip down to 2009 to where we had a total of 537. 141 of those were not active. So now we're up to 26%, just over that are not active. So we do count on people using water in certain ways to project revenue. Some economic conditions that have come about that we did not take into account. The number one loss is King County Jail. In 2007, they used just over 2 million cubic feet of water. That accounted for, in that year, $227,000, almost $228,000 in revenue. In 2009, we're virtually nothing. So it's really a big loss for the city. We also, there's about 15 other large users that we track on a monthly basis. Mainly, they're all businesses. So we do make sure that we look at that to where, hey, if there's some economic conditions that we need to be paying close attention to, you know, whether it be from Ellen DeVita's position or our position, to where we need to stay in contact with them and keep a good relationship, or just make sure we know what they're doing so it doesn't affect us adversely. That's what we try to do. So we track them every month. There's only three out of those 15 that are in the positive right now, and I obviously, because of their the negative impact on the negative ones, I don't want to even go there. I don't want to list their names or anything, but there's some that are down roughly 48%. There's some that are down 62%. The vast majority is down 25 to 30%. So that it's definitely affected us and affected them. Some things that from the previous rate study in our budgets that I guess you could look back and say, you know, we projected our revenue and maybe some of that wasn't so good. Connection fees. Tim pointed that out earlier. I just wanted to reiterate that. In 07-08, during our rate study, we projected $240,000. In our fiscal year budget that was approved, we budgeted $300,000. Our actual is $281,000. So we did a pretty good job there. In 08-09, our rate study was $216,000, budgeted $300,000. You can see a significant drop. It was $117,000. In 09-10, Our rate study accounted for $300,000. We budgeted $150,000. We're at $18,000. Some projected revenue from the rate study to budget that we didn't predict but has been to our benefit would be water tower leases from cellular companies. As you can see in the rate study, we projected $114,000. In 07-08, we budgeted $141,000, and our actual was $180,000. In 08-09, our rate study was $141,000, and budgeted $152,000. We came up at $226,000. In 09-10, our rate study was $141,000 again. Budgeted $170,000. We project that it's going to be a little bit higher than $170,000, and we have three companies that are looking to come in and go on our towers right now that we're working with. So in the future, hopefully, we're looking at between another $50,000 and $75,000 a year added on to that. I want to take a minute and go over our operating budget based on what the previous rate study was and what our budgets have been. In 07-08, our rate study called for the previous rate study, $4,331,364. Now, the operating budget is for our wastewater treatment facility, our water treatment facility, and our water and sewer maintenance. We budgeted that year $378,000, and our actual year-to-end was $3,517,000. So we reduced it almost 20% from the rate study. 08-09, you can look at the numbers, very similar. We reduced it even more. We reduced it another 11%. In 09-10, we're looking at another 12% decrease. So we haven't gone above and beyond what we're doing or projected in our operating budget. We've actually done very well. And some of the factors in reducing operating costs: mandatory reduction in operating costs. Mary came to us in 08-09 and wanted a 5% reduction. We did that. In 09-10, an additional 3% reduction. When the water treatment facility was being built, the facility plan called for a staffing of 5 people there. We held that to 3. We are right now, one water and sewer maintenance worker position is unfilled due to a gentleman that left the city, went to work as a fireman. That's what he wanted to do, and we didn't fill that position, but we'd like to. We also have one meter reader position that remains unfilled. We reduce some hours that go into our budget, into the water and sewer budget. We also took into account no unnecessary overtime, which folks, you know, Mary, that was a definite priority of hers and ours. And what that means is that when we have a water main break, just for an example, or a service leak, I will get the call in the middle of the night or during a Saturday or Sunday, and if I have to send an on-call person out there to take a look, he will give me a call. If it's something that we feel that can wait until the morning, until that can be fixed on regular hours, then we're going to do that. Same thing with a service leak. Obviously, sewer backups we're going to take care of. Also, it's not uncommon for if I'm on a Saturday or Sunday, instead of calling the on-call person out, I'm going to look at it. So those are some ways that we've reduced overtime costs. One major factor that we've been able to accomplish is the reduction in chemical costs and usage at the water treatment facility. Back a year ago, we were very concerned with chemical costs. They were fluctuating, if not worse, just as much as gasoline prices. They could not quote us prices on anything. It was supply and demand really at that point, and it was ugly. That has come down and really stabilized. We also Mike and his guys at the water treatment plant also did a really nice job of making sure that the only chemicals, what we had there is what we needed. I'll give you an example. When the water treatment facility was built, we used sulfuric acid at the plant. Mike worked with another chemical company that we had on board to use for an antiscalant to make sure the membranes were protected. With the type of chemical that we use for treating for antiscalant, we worked with the manufacturer and also Black & Veatch to say, you know what, because of that, we don't need the sulfuric acid anymore. That's just an example of one way that we are trying to always reduce costs and pay attention to it. One other way that we are conserving right now is we do not replace any water meters just to be on a schedule of a 10-year water meter replacement. It's only as required. If we get a call or the finance department gives us a call to where a meter has stopped, we're going to go out there and pay attention to that, and obviously we'll change it out then. Or if we see some things that are irregular, we'll go out and take a look at it. But as it is right now, we have a $37,000 budget for water meter replacement. We're making sure that money is available to balance the budget if we need to. Look at estimated revenues, water and sewer fees, based on the last rate study in the budget. Our rate study back in 2007-08 called for between the water and sewer fees, $6,743. Budgeted, we did $6,743 like the rate study called for. Our actual was down 4%. In 08-09, you can see the numbers, 432 again. The actual, or that was declined a little bit from the year before. Our actual really went down. Our revenues dropped significantly to $6,323,000, so that was a reduction of 15%. And then in 09-10, the rate study called for almost $8 million. And we're at we budgeted $7 million, so we budgeted less than a year ago. And our actual year to date right now, we're down 15% again. One thing I want to make sure that there's a relationship to is a relationship between, okay, if we're not producing the water, then we're saving money. And I want to, I guess, show how what I do for the budget to predict purchase power chemicals. That's really our main cost to produce the water. And I'm going to bring this up and just highlight it a little bit. Give me a second here. When I do the budget, take a look at purchase power, and I will go from, I'll look at the budget number that I had for 09-10, and I'll look at the estimate of what we have done for the year. From there, I will take what Mary gives me as a percentage increase just based on purchase power itself. It has nothing to do with consumption. And I will add that number into there. And that's, you know, for this upcoming year, it's a 0% increase. I'll do the same thing for chemical costs. So the reason I do that is because if I was to predict what our consumption would be, and I had to plug in a number for that for our purchase power and chemicals, there would be no way that I could ever get a 0% overall reduction or 0% increase in operating costs. So what we would do is say, okay, if I'm over on purchase power and I'm over on chemicals, we're going to see that in the revenues at the end of the year, and we're going to be able to adjust that based on you know, what we produced. What I do, though, and I just want to pull up this screen real quick, that's not to say that I ignore it all year. It's not to say I ignore it a month. I keep track of purchase power and chemical costs monthly. For the water treatment facility, let me go one more. So everything is calculated on a monthly basis, total purchase power for what we're producing, total chemical costs, and what I'll do is I'll take that and I will divide that into our water that we produced per year. Now, right now, for the end of the year, we are at about 47 cents or 45 cents for every 1,000 gallons of water that we produce. That's our cost for purchase power. The reason I show this to you is because what I do is I will use this as a guide for my department to look at things to where, okay, can we do things differently? And what effect will that have? So I just kind of wanted to show that to you to kind of just better illustrate what I do. All right, I'm going to do something here. I want to take just a couple minutes and go over some of the capital investments that we look at for water that we put into the budget. Some significant investments for water main replacement in our program, and the influences that our department has. And when I speak to Dan about things that we would like to do, one thing that influences our decision is the water main breaks in certain areas. On average, we'll have about 40 water main breaks per year. We'll also look at some areas that need improved flows for water. We have some areas that do not have real good water quality just because of the area that they're in and the age of that area. And we also try to tag along with the street resurfacing program. Instead of tearing up a street twice, we want to look at that. Pull up a map here which shows since 1996 we've been keeping track of all the water main breaks in the city. That's too much. And there's certain areas that we look at closely, and I just want to show you that we track also the areas that we have replaced. The last water main replacement we had was on Caneville Road. We had severe breaks there, so we replaced that, and you can also see some of the other areas that we've done. Areas that we are concerned with currently over on Caneville Court, we've had this doesn't show the full extent of this year, but we've had just alone this year, we've had about 5 to 6 water main breaks this year alone. What we're concerned about is that whenever we have a water main break on Caneville Court, it shuts down the businesses that are there, and they have to let their employees go for that time. So we're real concerned about that area and want to take care of that. The other area that we're looking at and are going to be proposing is the area along North First Street. And when I speak of water quality and flows, this is one of them. In here, these areas in red are for when we had a consultant in that looked at some of the flows and said, you know, this is where you should begin if you want to, if you should improve flows to those areas. Right now, the homes along North First that dead end at the St. Charles dividing line, this is a dead end main here. There's the water quality along here is not real good, and the flows are not real good. And what we want to do is come off of Eklund here and replace and connect a new water main onto here so that there's much improved flow here and much better water quality. The other area that we're looking at is along Kansas and Chalmers. This is a resurfacing project that's going to be done here in 12-13 that we're looking at improving flows there and also just tagging along with the street resurfacing program. Get back out of here. Here's our proposed schedule that I'll be bringing to you. In 2010-11, what we want to do is replace that water main on Caneville Court. We also have the Couch Road relocation project that is going to be coming to you. Total of $350,000 is what we're going to have budgeted. That was $570,000. The reason why we reduced it is I went and talked to Mike Martins, and who is the water treatment facility manager, and between the two of us decided that this is a project that we can do in-house. Mike did several projects while he was the water and sewer supervisor, maintenance supervisor. We did Burgess Road in-house. We've done some areas in Fargo or on Fargo in-house, and we felt that this would be a good opportunity for us, and we would be able to do that. So we reduced it by that. And then in 11-12, we'd like to do the North First Street connection, and in 12-13 over on Kansas and Chalmers. The other large investment that we have is for capital investments for sewer. We want to continue doing our sanitary sewer lining and manhole rehab. We need to prevent the sanitary sewer overflows during rain events. That's one of the major needs that we have. I'm sure you all remember, you know, a year or so ago, everybody was getting phone calls and flooding and everything else, and that's one of our main goals that we want to accomplish. We also need to control root intrusion into our sanitary mains to where it can cause sewer backups. A large portion of that, obviously, is the other reason we want to do that is we want to reduce the unnecessary flows down to the wastewater treatment plant. So when we get infiltration, where's the obvious place it goes? So right now we have costs. This fiscal year, it's in the budget, but the way the budget is looking, I'm going to have to take quite a bit of that money to balance out the budget, but I'm still hoping that I can take $100,000 and still do some lining. It was $330,000. In fiscal year 10-11, I'd still like to do $130,000. When we did the rate study for this year, this current rate study, the first proposal I had was $350,000. And when Rempe Sharp did their study and came back with some high numbers, what I thought was high numbers for rate increases, I really sharpened my pencil and thought, okay, this is what we can get by with. Still, you know, do what we can do, hopefully satisfy the residents and satisfy you folks and do what we need to do and satisfy the EPA. So $130,000 was $350,000. Same goes for 11-12, boosting that up a little bit to $230,000, but it was $450,000. And same thing with fiscal year 12-13. This is a map here that shows where we have in the past done sanitary sewer rehab, whether it be manhole rehab or lining projects within the city, and I just want to highlight some of the areas that we're considering. As you know, we've had in our goals and objectives, we've had some areas that have been on the books for a while. And we've done some things here in the last few years that have made some progress on that. Let's stick with that. If over in the Geneva East area, we found after the rainstorms that we had in the last year, we went out there and did our own televising. We went out there, Randy Miller and I went out and popped a bunch of manholes on a Sunday when it was raining to find out what in the world was going on. Why were we getting these increased flows? We weren't getting the information that we thought was valid information from the flow monitoring that was done several years ago. Unfortunately, during those times, we didn't get a whole lot of rain. So when we do get a lot of rain, where in the world are these, you know, excess flows coming from? In this area here in red, this is all clay tile sanitary sewer that was put in along Geneva Drive. In this whole area, it was just pouring in like a fountain. So this is one area we would like to address and get it lined. All of these manholes here that are highlighted, this year we spent about $40,000 to do manhole rehab in so we could eliminate some of the flows that were coming in right underneath the manhole frames. And so far we've seen very good results with that. So what we did is we divided up some areas instead of having it. I would have loved to have had the $330,000 to address all the needs right now that I know of. But what we did is we spread those needs out. These areas here in orange will be done. We're proposing in fiscal year 12-13. The other area that is of importance, as well you well may know, is over off of Fargo. This year we did put a new manhole in and along right at the intersection of Fargo and Batavia Avenue and took care of a severe sag that was constricting flow. So we took care of that in-house. But this area that goes down through the forest preserve needs to be lined. There's root intrusion, which restricts flows, and there's also quite a bit of infiltration. This blue area here is just one area that we were able to televise and found some infiltration, but we want to take care of that next year. Would like to this year, but we'll go into that. And then the other area that we get concerned about that we had quite a few calls on was over here in Pepper Valley along Northampton. Once again, we televised this area, found a lot of infiltration in this area, found a lot of root intrusion and in this area also. So we want to address this. This area here in green was done. That was in a previous year, so that was taken care of. Okay, I spent enough time on that. So what we try and do, and what I'm proud of, we like to have a proactive approach to maintain our large capital investments. Give you an example of, are you sending the Tumi error report? Get out of here. It's time to leave. Give an example of some things that we're on board for that I'm going to be proposing coming up in the budget. Well 10, which is a shallow well over in the West Haven subdivision, we've noticed that there's some abnormal vibration going on there. We've also seen that the aquifer is changing a little bit. Nothing drastic, but this is something that we would like to do some rehab on, and we're going to be proposing that. Now that's $30,000, but I don't want to come to you folks when the well just, or the pump and motor fails. We also do the same thing with our lift station pumps, sanitary lift station pumps. We have it on schedule to do bearing and seal repair on these lift station pumps. And one other large investment that we make per year is for out at the water treatment facility for membrane replacement. Right now we have $162,000 budgeted for membrane replacement for the next 4 years. We won't plan on using that per year, but we want to carry it over to the next year and after that, because after 5 years, that's what is suggested for the life. We're hoping we get beyond that, but we wanted to have it in the budget, so at year five, we didn't come out here and say we need $600,000 to replace the membranes out of the plant. Some of my concerns that I have, obviously, like yours, I want to be conservative. I don't want to burden the ratepayers any more than we feel is appropriate. But we have to have, number one concern is the ability to repay the IEPA loans. We have $32 million in debt. $2.5 million of that per year is what we need to pay back. I'd really like to continue having a proactive approach rather than a reactive approach. That's not to say that everything we do is proactive. We just do not have the manpower to do that. But I think we've done very well with the staffing that we have. I want to get up to full staff. I want to be able to perform the necessary maintenance in a timely manner that we need to do, which means continue our sanitary and storm sewer cleaning programs. It's vital to our customers that we do that. It's vital that we do this so we stay out of the harm of EPA, be very honest with you. Along with that, I want to continue our televising program. We have found fantastic results doing our own televising. We would have, if we would have went out and hired a company to come out and televise how many ever thousand feet you want to, I don't think that we would have found the areas in Geneva East and off of Northampton that we would have, unless we would have timed it perfectly. By having our own equipment and having the time to do it, we found those areas. And then we need to attend to our daily needs for our customers. We've done that in the past. I want to continue it. Unfortunately, with the staff that we have, it's taking a little bit longer because of the reduced staff. All that, you know, one person doesn't seem like it makes a difference, but when you reduce it from 5 to 4, it makes a difference. We don't have that much to go by as it is. The other thing that I'm concerned about is new legislation. The Illinois Emergency Management Association has a biosolids land application proposed legislation. Dan Dinges and I went down to Springfield last September and testified on behalf of the city that this proposed legislation would cost the ratepayers in Geneva, the $47,000 that we have right now to land apply our sludge would easily triple if this proposed legislation goes through. What it has to do with is radium in the sludge. Radium had to be taken out of the drinking water. Where does it go? It goes down into part of it goes down into the sludge, the other goes into the river. Well, IEMA is in control of the radium regulations, and they are proposing a very, very strict, almost ridiculous legislation for land application, which we use. It's a beneficial reuse of our biosolids, and would really restrict us to a point where we could not land apply. So that is a proposed legislation that is out there that we're concerned about. That is not even in our rates. That is not even in this rate study. So we are being very conservative, in my mind. Now, did I do everything very, very conservatively? It depends on what you mean by conservative. I don't want to have our predictions so low, so I'm coming back to you if the economy still is tanking in another couple years and want another rate increase. I don't want to over calculate what we need. Give an example. I did go ahead and put in for the rate study for wages and allocations for our personnel. I did include a 4% increase. That adds up to about $50,000 a year. So, you know, I wanted to be conservative in that approach. I thought it was realistic. Maybe to some people it's not, but that's what I went by. So I hope that gives you an idea of kind of what we're looking at, what we've done to reduce some of our costs that in operation, reduce some of the costs that I feel is necessary to even maintain our capital investments, but yet not kill the ratepayers by doing that. So I know I took a lot of time here, but it's definitely important. So at this point, either Grampy Sharp or I will take your questions. Thank you.
Do you want us to
take a 10-minute recess?
No, Bob, that was not my comment. I just want us to go turn the faucets on for a while to see if we can somehow bring this whole thing into balance. But, would you like to have the liberty and pleasure of referring to the presentation again in case you need it? And same question from Mr. Sharp, or Mr. Sharp, from Rempy Sharp. Sorry. Okay, so, okay, and I will click one of these babies off this week. Okay. Mr. Singer, Mr. Maladra.
Thank you, Mr.
Flanagan.
Does the rate increase include any capital improvements?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. The capital improvements.
Bob.
Bob, Superintendent of Water and Sewer. Yes, it did. The capital improvements that I just showed you and some others, let's say, were for vehicle replacement or things like that. That's all in there. After I sharpened my pencil, that's the numbers that I presented, and that's what is off the rate study.
I've read recently where some communities are going with digital readings for their meters. Is there a possibility that we may move that way? And would it be feasible? Would it be costly? Or would it be?
Yeah, it's costly. There's no doubt about it. But the benefits are enormous. We are looking at it. One thing that is in the rate study for not 10-11 fiscal year, but fiscal year 11-12 is $200,000 for billing software. Mm-hmm. We need to update our billing software. Once we update our billing software, then we'll have a better idea of what we can do with automatic meter reading. We've talked to a few vendors already. We're in the process. We're definitely looking at it. It would be awesome for the city to do.
Yeah. The next question I have is, I'm not sure you can answer this, but possibly directed towards Mary and also incorporating into Don Weiss. How much revenue have we lost regarding some residents that have left our community and have not really paid their water bill? Mm-hmm.
That's a good question, because that's what I was going to ask. I don't have that information on me, but I did send out a report, I think it was about a year ago, about accounts that we were concerned about or accounts that we were trying to collect on and had not been able to do so. I can provide you with an updated report, but it was a minuscule amount compared to the dollar figures that we're talking. It was not a lot. Our customers are good in the sense that most of them pay on time, and those that cannot, our finance office has worked with to make arrangements.
Just out of curiosity, in case there are any constituencies watching us this evening, how do you go about collecting any revenues that were in the case where someone has left the community? Is there liens placed against their properties, or just what's the process?
They're eventually turned over to collections. We try, based on the contact information that we have, to find the person. When they're doing a final bill, if they notify us, then we will typically have follow-up contact information as to where the final bill goes to. If for some reason that doesn't happen and we can't find them, then we will eventually refer that to a collection agency.
Okay. Bob, it was a great report. It really was very, very good and very informative. And the Rumpy Sharp people, I think, did an excellent job as well. Thank you for that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome, sir. Mr. Maladra, Ms. Flanagan.
Okay, Bob. I'm just going to bop around through a whole bunch of seemingly unrelated questions, but they make
great
sense.
You should have taken that 10 minutes.
You pointed out that the loss of the jail cost us, a million cubic feet or a billion cubic feet or something like that, a really large amount of water consumption, right?
Correct.
But I think we knew the jail was leaving when we did our last rate study. So wasn't that loss of consumption
taken into consideration?
It was not figured in.
That's okay.
It was not figured in.
Just wanted to make sure. So in this current rate study, we have to have a little more clear picture of the factors that we're going to face going forward. Okay, one of them you got to, we're taking 6% off of the typical year in terms of, I guess, consumption. So we're saying 2007, 2008 is a typical year. We're going to assume 6% less than that. Where do we stand currently in relation to 2007, 2008?
Okay. Give me a second here.
Or just say way below 6%. That's okay.
Okay. If somebody... compared to 07-08.
It's Mary's.
I'm sorry, Bob.
No, it's okay. I want to be accurate in what I'm telling you.
I'll explain what I'm asking, and then we don't have to be all that accurate. So,
sure.
We're looking at 6% less than a typical year, but if Brown earlier in a question to the Delmar guys refer to the retention pond or whatever, it just appears as if we're going to have to deal with wetter years and things like that. Why did we decide that 6% less was the right figure to use?
You know, there's no magical way to do it. It's based on guidance from years of experience from Mr. Gain. It's based on what we want to be as far as conservative and what how we classify it as being conservative. We're looking at you know other years. I mean, right now we are at the consumption level of just 1998-99. I mean, our consumption level is that far down. It's really hard to predict what we're going to see. You know, if I read my numbers right, we're going, and actually Tim had this in his, if we take a look at fiscal year 07-08, the total consumption was 127,000 cubic feet. We're estimating right now at 110,000 cubic feet this year. So we're hoping that we're on a rebound.
Right.
But we don't want to... Hopefully, we're not going to see another 110,000 cubic feet next year. If that happens, then once again, I'm not going
to
use.
And just to clarify, it's 110 million cubic. But
thank you.
Otherwise, the rate's 94%.
You know, once again, I mean, I'm going to balance the budget, and I will not, you know, do any capital improvements until I can see if we're going to be got those revenues, you know, up there. So
okay, so sticking with you know trying to get at the veracity of the current projections used. Another factor that I heard is that the last set of rate increases reduced consumption. So do you figure that the next set of rate increases will have a similar effect, and has that been accounted for?
We did an analysis of price elasticity based on previous rate increases, and up to this point, there is not a significant, we would say that the Geneva area is price inelastic. Okay. It's a very small decrease in consumption, but based on our, you know, what we're seeing as far as consumption, there's something besides precipitation, you know, whether it be the economy, whether it be rates, something else is driving a decline in consumption.
Okay. But one of the things that I'm worried about declining a reduction in consumption is that as a community we're at build out. Bobby referred earlier to the high projections we had for connection fees and the low actual, and I don't know exactly what a connection fee is, but I have a feeling it's got something to do with new construction, and there just isn't any.
Right. Any time from to where a person, even a tear down rebuild, that would increase the size of their meter or put put a new service on, there's going to be a connection fee associated. If you look at the Sunset Prairie subdivision, you know, we expected there to be, you know, by now, filled up. That hasn't happened. There's a lot of connection fees missing there. The townhome subdivision from with John Henry over in Brisher and Jack,
right.
There's a lot more room for filling in over there. And then whatever is going to be done with the areas east of town, you know, there's that build out there. So I agree with you. It's limited. But the revenue projection, hopefully, is still there. So, but it's significantly reduced.
But okay, good. So in our projection, we've recognized that we're just not building as much as we were before. It'll
exactly.
take a while to recover from the economic downturn, things like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, operating variable costs versus fixed costs. One of the questions that I've had for a while about this subject is, it seems to me that we have a very high amount of fixed costs, and I think tonight you did a good job of explaining that. One question that came up, though, when you were talking about the purchase power and the chemicals, you mentioned that you come up with a cost per gallon. Mm-hmm. Do you guys set a goal that you're trying to reach for your cost per gallon? Not, again, I'm not saying you have a
sure.
crystal ball or anything like that, but do you use that ratio in your planning? And
I'm starting to because of the costs, or excuse me, because of really being still in the infancy of the water treatment facility. We're still gaining that information, but now I've got a full year, so we're going to be looking at things like, is it more beneficial for us to use three shallow wells and one deep well versus two shallow and two deep? You know, it's going to cause. Give you an example. I mean, we're going to be putting more water through the pressure filters if we use two shallow wells because we have to treat it for iron and manganese, but yet we have to pump that water eventually to the wastewater plant. So this is what I'm hoping is going to give me good information to see that in the future.
Okay.
Right now, it's in its infancy.
Okay. And then the last thing I had, well, actually just two comments. So the first comment is about the capital investments and what I saw up here, and from what I could tell in the packet, our capital, our infrastructure in this area, that's really our assets, and we've got to take care of those. We've seen the problems. I think that you did a great job of bringing home to everybody on this council the problems that they've dealt with individually when sewer lines collapse or when they get clogged with roots or when water just doesn't taste right and things like that. So in this area, I think we would be causing a lot more harm if we try to shortcut our infrastructure. That's the first point. And then the second point about the new rate study in general, it seems to me that you know, setting the numbers aside and the dire predictions and all that other stuff, I accept that, but it comes down to a matter of, I think, credibility. Do we feel that there's a lot of strength in this current study, strength enough to support this as a rate increase? And I'm still mulling that one over. Thanks. Want me to keep going?
No, I was just so overcome by your...
What are you asleep?
No, Ms. Flanagan.
Thank you. Since you set the tone of the agenda to be scattered, I think I'll follow that, too.
The way the brain works.
Yeah, I started to write down notes, so... To go back to Alderman Singer's comment about the ratepayers or the water the people leaving town or whatever, do we ever shut off water in a situation where they're not paying for water? Have we done that?
No, because we have the luxury of the electric department shutting off their power instead,
okay.
So they get to be the bad
guys. So they get to be there. Okay.
Yeah. But we do. Just so you know, we've been spending a lot of time recently. With foreclosures, that we will go out and shut the water off because what we're finding is I don't know if Alderman
Damage.
Pollack knows, but there was a home over in your
area. I'm well aware of it.
That, you know, we're getting homes damage. That have no heat and
yeah.
busted water pipes, and
yeah.
we don't know until we get the phone call. But we've been proactive in that, and unfortunately, a lot of our work has gone to
yes.
going to those places. The finance department will call us up and say we've got zero usage on their meter. So we'll go out and we'll verify it. We'll, you know, check and see if anybody's even living in the home. If not, we'll make the determination to turn the water off just as a precautionary measure. So, yes, in a long-winded.
Yeah. Yes. I'm glad you brought up the loan payment because I didn't know if that was, I didn't know how much we had left on the loan. And so $2.5 million, I didn't calculate how many years it would take, but I'm sure it's going to take.
They're 20 loans.
Something, yeah. You mentioned about the main water main breaks. What does it cost do you know what the cost of a water main break costs us to repair? And is it something, because of that, is the capital funding that you're looking for, will that offset some of that cost? Or am I looking too broadly?
No, it's a valid question. There's areas in town that have had numerous breaks in them to where we have not done anything with it because we can shut two valves, we can shut 10 homes off for 4 hours and get it done and we're fine. To answer your question, no, I don't have the exact amount of how much a break costs, but when we're talking a business to where they have to close down and send their employees home, I look at that more seriously.
Right.
So.
And does the leaks have anything to do with, and I somehow can't seem to wrap my mind around it, if there is a leak or not a leak, which causes the more increase in the cost of the water, the leak, does it not? And if it does, do we search out for the leaks? Am I making sense? I hope.
To me.
I mean, we had the leak survey come in not too long ago.
Right.
A couple months ago.
They determined that there were some, remember.
Sure. There's always going to be some leaks that do not surface. We had one that was underneath the creek on Cheever that was just flowing into the creek. We didn't know. There was another one that was going right into a sanitary manhole. Wouldn't have known it unless we would have popped that manhole, which is, we've got thousands of manholes. And then service leaks that just will find its way to either the river or it's in a sand area, wherever. But
does that contribute to the cost?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, of course it does. Yeah, there's a cost for leaks, but when I determine if the leak is not that bad and I don't have to send a crew out on double time to do it, I'm going to let the leak go if it's not causing a problem.
Yeah, because I noticed that on the map, and since I live on Brookfield, I looked for Brookfield, and I noticed that there was quite a bit, and so there was quite a bit of water main breaks on Bedford, but over how many years does that map indicate or span out to?
Right. I have another map that really shows per year.
Okay.
It's kind of hard to put that up here.
The composite of that?
Yeah.
Okay. There was another question. Maybe not. But I did want to thank you. I thought your presentation was very well done. It certainly did give me some information on some areas that I really had no real idea of what was going on. But do you think that the green movement has anything to do also with your conservation of water? Because, everybody... not in addition to saying, well, gee, we want to conserve, but people take shorter showers.
I think there's some of that.
Water barrels we distribute.
I think most families look at it nowadays to where they're really critiquing their utility bill in any way that they can save. I mean, my wife is on my kids all the time to get out of the shower quicker and whatever else. I think it's become more and more popular to do that.
I think we're in a catch-22 situation,
We've talked internally. It's a perfect storm. I mean, we couldn't have predicted the loss in revenue like this. I mean, there'd be a lot of rich people if they could predict this kind of thing. So that's where we're at.
Thank you very much.
Alderman Pollack.
Thank you, Mayor. Bob, thank you for the presentation. When I went through the packet, one thing that came to mind was in your expense projections, I've identified that you're asking for a 4% raise in 2011 and 12 and 5% in 12 and 13?
I'm not asking for that. I'm just putting these as projections. In a way to be conservative, but are you talking personnel wages?
Yes.
Okay. When I calculated those out, just as a quick number, it ends up being roughly $50,000 a year is what a 5% increase would be, and that would be total for the water and sewer department. Could I have said there's absolutely no increases? Sure. But then I didn't want to come back to you at a later date and say, yeah, I didn't project anything.
Forgive me for interrupting. Does that include insurance as well, or is that just wage?
No, in the numbers that Stephanie gave me for insurance is in there also.
So that's inclusive of insurance? Or
insurance
that's
no. $50,000 a year has absolutely nothing to do with it.
Thank you.
Insurance has its own line item. I think we're going to have to look seriously at raises in this economic climate. I mean, there's going to have to. And I know others will want to speak about the capital improvements. We're asking the ratepayers for perhaps a 9.25% increase. In this economic time, Bob, it's hard to ask them again after already increasing at 144% since 2004. Now, I recognize also that we've greatly added to our assets. That goes without saying, but I think we need to go back and sharpen pencil and really go through this line by line and have a real working committee of the whole and identify, what is a real need and what is a want. Thank you. Nice job.
Alderman Vogelsberg, then Marks.
Thank you. I agree, Bob. It's a great report. Both reports are very comprehensive. And I do think some of the capital improvements are needed, and I think they will benefit the residents. Like you said, all the leakage and all the problems you've identified. I mean, we've all had several meetings about Pepper Valley and Geneva East and some of the problems. So I'm glad to see some of that in there to be, to get a jump on some of that to relieve the stress of the people that live there. And this is probably such a basic question, but I still have it. What causes a main break, a water main break?
All of these in here.
There could be a few reasons. We usually see them this time of the year more than anything just because of the freeze-thaw activities. There's the age of the water main, although I should say the age / quality of the water main. We have areas in the downtown area that have been in for 50, 60 years to where we don't have water main breaks. and look at Pepper Valley. There's so many factors. It could be how they bedded the pipe when they installed it. There could be bad soils to where it's affecting the pipe.
It's a lot. It's not just one thing that we could just work on and prevent. And do you think bottled water drinking is lowering the use of the water consumption in Geneva?
Well, we do have a grind.
That's for speculation.
Well, I know, but I guess I feel like it's. This is how I see it. It's just like shopping in Geneva. Like, if you want the services in Geneva, the best thing people can do is shop Geneva. So if you want your water rates lower, drink the water that comes out of the faucet, and then flush the toilet right after. No, but you know what I'm saying? There, we can. Hey, recycling. It's a 0.5% less, but it does add up. So, I just want. Control over things.
That's the odd thing. You know, people want to conserve and save money here and there, but they will go buy bottled water like crazy. And the water that we put out there is fantastic. And you know, sure, there's certain areas in town where it's old water main, and it's going to take some time to flush out that main so the water becomes, you know, as good as it is coming out of the water plant. But I completely agree. But trying to change that
just
mentality.
Trying to because you have the rain barrels and then the water bottles. So I just wondered if that was something that is
I still go to some homes, and they have no idea that we've got a new water plant, that the water has changed, that we have softened water. So there's some people that just are stubborn.
All right. Well, that's it. Thank you.
Alderman Marks, then Dantino.
You know, Bob, a great, great report. I did spend a lot of time on it this weekend. My question is this, on the numbers you showed, based upon the track record, it always looks that when we've done these rate studies that the expenses have actually been higher than what they've come in at. And we're sitting here now looking at a 9.25% increase. The question is I think we probably need to tighten it down a little bit this time. I mean, it's just such a large increase when a lot of people aren't seeing increases in their own wages to go, where in the past we've seen some expenses that actually were in the projections that we've come in lower. I mean, and when we look at the capital expenditures, the capital expenditures for this year are based roughly about $500,000, and next year we're looking at almost $1.2 million, and the year after that, $1.2 million. Now, I know capital infrastructure has to be done, and I don't like to cut that, but the problem is if we've consistently overstated our expenses, should we take a tighter look at them this time around more than ever?
It sounds like Tim has something to say on that too.
I think Mr. Grimm is going to say is he's going to clarify the rate increase projection.
Now, we're recommending a 5% for water and 4.25% for sewer. It's not a.
Well, we tie them together. We don't have a difference.
So that would still average.
One goes up 5%, the other goes up 4.5%.
But we base our sewer based upon the amount of water they use. We don't split that out.
Still, it would average to be a.
Yeah. Mr. Gain, if you could, okay. Mr. Gain, I guarantee that people at home, if they're not already supine and or unconscious, they're probably anxious to hear.
And Alderman Pollack said that.
And Mr. Gain, that's the first time you moved all night. I was very impressed with the way you sat so stoically the whole night.
Get up here. But it's 5% for the water, 4.25% for the sewer. It's an average of 4.75%. If, for instance, we didn't raise the sewer anything at 0%, and we raised the water at 10%, the actual people would see would be a 5% increase. Okay. So it's a 4.75% increase. So I hope.
Okay. We always realize that we didn't base that. We base it on the water. We never had a separate sewer.
I'm going to ask Mr. Gain to explain that again. And for those who graduated toward the bottom of the class, I was homeschooled. My mother's probably watching this. But very slowly again, explain that, because I think we all tend to get caught up add the two together, therefore it's a 10% increase.
Right. So, right. Over the last several years, there has been no sewer increase since 2004, 2005. We've had increases in the water, but never into the sewer. For instance, what we had was a 10% increase in the water and a 0% increase in the sewer last year. But what that represents on the total, if you look at water and sewer together, what they see on the bill is basically the average of the two, which would be 10% plus 0% divided by 2, which is 5%. So in essence, what you're seeing with the proposed rate increases, and these are approximate rate increases, 5% for the water and 4.25% for the sewer, the average would be 4.75% increase.
Per year. 3 years.
That's correct.
So it's over 12, it's 13-some percent.
Yeah, over three years.
On top of 144% that we've done since 04.
Since 04. For the water, but for nothing the water. On the sewer.
So it's 72%.
Mr. Mark still has the floor.
I'm still struggling with that. The expenses in the past on these studies have been overstated, and that's what's driving a lot of this increase right now, is that he showed that based on one of his slides that what comes in as actual expenses based upon what the projections are in here, they have not been as high as been in the rate studies in the past.
You mean the revenue projections?
No, the expense projections. The actual expenses actually were coming in lower than what was in these rate studies. And my question is ever been more than important than ever before, since a lot of our residents are really struggling?
Sure.
Do we need to tighten this down just a little bit tighter this time?
But in respect to that, part of that was that we had projected cost for the water treatment facility. So we had additional manpower that we found that we didn't need. Probably extra chemical costs that we had in there. Probably some extra personnel costs. Increases for their pay that we didn't have included. So a lot of that was built in as unknowns, and we had that in there. If we didn't have that in there, and I went with rates that were lower, I'd be in a lot worse shape than what I am now. And the rates now would be higher. I'd be asking for higher rates because we'd be that much farther behind. Clarification for the capital expenses for this year, originally I had $1.2 million in the capital budget, and I've reduced that amount to balance the budget for this year. Let me put that up here now.
That was my point there. When you see the rate study, expenses are much higher than what we've actually budgeted and what has come in actual. That, you know, it is the expenses that is driving some of this increase here. You can see there's, you know, 19, 11, 12% differences that we're looking at. And that's a big amount to be at that point when we're looking at raising rates in a very tough time.
The only thing I would say to that is just that we have a much better understanding right now of our operating costs than what we did, you know, back during that time.
It was just something that came out.
Oh, it definitely sticks out. There's no doubt about it.
And you know, the problem is that's what people are going to grab onto also, because it did come out.
Sure.
It came out when you looked at this report, and actually you did the percentages a lot closer.
I guess
you do a better job of budgeting than we do in projecting.
Well, I guess I take, you know, some pride in that. We, like I said, we... Dan and I had talked about it when the plant first opened, and we were going to put three people out there and see how things go. We were not automatically going to, you know, employ five people out there, which was suggested. There's other things that other cuts that we've made. I think we've done a very good job, and I don't think it necessarily reflects something that we did in the last rate study that was bad. I think that a lot of it was just a lot of projections at the time.
Okay.
Let me interject again. This is Bill Gein. If there were no rate increase for both the combined water and sewer count, for next year it would be a deficit of or a reduction in your cash flow of $619,071. In 11 and 12, it would become an additional $882,900. And in fiscal year 2012 and 13, it would be $941,000. So, yes, you can probably get some additional reduction in some of the operating costs, but there's other costs associated with it, and that's the debt service.
Well, the debt service is flat. Year over year here, it's flat, according to pretty much to these, because it's either interest or principal. It's a fixed rate loan, so
right.
We're paying the same amount. So it's a flat out cash outflow. That's even. The outflow for that is even. So the only outflows that are different here are capital expenditures and expenses. Because they said it was a fixed rate 20-year loan, so our monthly payment is going to be the same.
That's
so that's flat.
One other thing I had for Alderman Maladra. On Table 3, is probably an important one for you to take a look at. And on Table 3...
Is there no answer to Alderman Marks' question?
There wasn't a question asked.
He's agreed that it is flat.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, it is flat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Mr. Marks will still have the floor, and then we're going to go to Dantino, Piper, and then Maladra for a second time.
Can we get this Table 3 explanation?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Mr. Gein has the fee, but yeah. I just want everyone to know where we stand.
On Table 3 is a breakdown. Because we were wrestling with this for weeks because of the potential of a reduction in water consumption and what are the other factors. And so I tried to do a sensitivity analysis as to what would it be if we had 0% reduction? What would it be if we had a 3% reduction? What would it be if we had a 6% reduction? And so I took a look at that all the way up to 11%. And it shows you what impact that has on rates. So what's critical here is if you increase your reduction in water sales by 11% and say that's the most conservative approach, you're actually going to increase your rates by more than double. So it's important to understand what that dynamic is. What we have taken was kind of a middle of the road and said we know there's going to be some impact because of all of these factors, but we don't think it's going to be the full amount that it could possibly be is what you're experiencing this last year. So we understand it's important. We tried to take a middle of the road aspect with the idea that we really need to take a look at this next year and see what impact it has and did we make the right assumptions. So that's the proviso in here is that we estimate at this particular time 5% increase in water each year, but we'd like to take another look at that to see what that particular impact has. Water sales increased, then we can possibly reduce down that amount at that time. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Marks, anything else, sir?
Nothing else right now.
Can I make one quick point? Dan reminded me something. It is important to note. I should have calculated this percentage based on the budgeted, because the actual year to end date on these was the capital. Some of the capital that I had to take or some of the money that I had to take to balance the budget, not necessarily capital, but you know, for example, the $200,000 this year for the difference in the budget that he anticipated in 2009 and 2010 is the reflection of the chemical cost for the water plant. So maybe a little bit misleading, but still, over the years, we've reduced our operating budget.
Mr. Marks, anything?
No.
Mr. Dantino.
I guess I got a question to follow up on what Alderman Marks said. So when you say up on that slide there, $3.7 million was budgeted, $3.5 million was actual use, so that extra, whatever that is, $200,000, remained in the fund. Is that what you were...
Corrected. It remained in the fund to keep our $1.5 million in reserves.
So if
because
actual,
we did not reach our goal of what was projected for the revenues. So that money went to go balance the budget.
The extra $200,000.
Correct. Some of that money was based on the reductions that Mary McKittrick asked for. Some of the reductions came from what was projected early on for whether it be staffing or we had reductions in some hourly staff in some of this. It's a combination of that. Like I spoke of the water meters. I mean, it's only $30,000, but it's something that I needed to hold on to make up for some of the deficit.
So we'd be in worse shape if we actually hit the budget then.
Oh yeah.
Okay. What type of water mains are mostly breaking down? What kind of water mains are we using? Plastic now or still?
No, we've only got one area that is plastic in town. We've been mainly going with ductile iron.
Ductile iron.
We've seen some breaks in ductile, but it's mostly the cast iron that's breaking.
Cast iron, the older cast.
The older cast iron water main.
So what are you doing to repair those? You're just putting a repair clamp on those things?
Correct.
Okay. And
if it's that bad to where we can't even put a repair clamp on it, then we'll cut a piece of that main out and put a new piece in.
Okay. And then when you do the linings, what are you using for that?
The line, you can line water main. We have not gone to that. It's pretty new technology. So it's more of just a complete replacement on the water main. We will line sewer lines though. That's taking a cured in place line that is brought through
from the inside,
and then is heat cured, and I believe has a 30-year life on it or better.
Is that your phone?
Yes.
Thank you.
I would recognize Mr. Malaja for a second time. Okay, then. Mr. Piper, Mr. Hill, Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Bob, I'm glad to see the proactive approach you're taking. I think it probably saves us a lot more money in the long run than being reactive. I guess with all of these numbers flying back and forth and what we're talking about with the 4.75%, my question is probably directed towards Mary since somebody from finance is here. On average, what does that mean to a ratepayer? I mean, as we all sit here and discuss this, what does that actually mean? That $4.75?
What's your bill per month?
I mean, so we can. That's what I'm saying, though. My point is, if we round it off to $100, it's $4.75. Or
you have a big bill, $100 for.
Well, I'm just using round numbers so that people get, you know,
here's a pool.
Get an idea.
Once we get into the actual rate design, we would provide an analysis of a sample bill looking at lower consumption users, higher consumption, and we would compare how the rate increases affect each class of customer.
Right.
Okay. I also have a spreadsheet that I'm working on that has the neighboring communities who are on softened water, who are not on softened water, what their rates are and what they're projecting also. So, okay.
Thank you.
Anything else, Bob? Mr. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Not being a numbers cruncher, I'm looking at Table 2 in the packet, talking about the water and sewer fund, projected balance at the end of the year, cash and equivalents. Know that there is a goal of carryover balance for both the water fund and the sewer fund of $1,500,000. That's an annual desire or estimated desire for a carryover fund. Is that's correct?
The 1.5 million in reserves. Yes, that's our goal.
Okay, that's the goal. So, in order to if an increase is not approved for fiscal year 10 and 11. That end of fiscal year would be reduced to $1,445,781. Is that correct? That's the way Table 2 reads. So we're not quite achieving the $1,500,000 reserve. And I can understand the need to attempt to have a healthy reserve. We've had that for several years, apparently. I'm also concerned about the folks who are having tough financial times. And I think it's good that we had a reduction in the amount of water that was used this past year and the previous year. Hopefully that trend will continue. But I'm very, very concerned about increasing the water bill, water and sewer bill, any percent for fiscal 10 and 11. And even if we do not, according to this table, we would still have close to $1,500,000 in reserves. And that's what I'm looking at. Tell me where I've made some mistakes in my thinking, please.
I'll chime in. There's been no mistakes at all, but right. Just for clarification purposes, the $1.5 million reserve is a city council policy that we enacted upon Mr. Van Gisken. As you all will recall, for years we did not have a reserve in place in a number of our enterprise funds. And despite our thinking at the time that it was fiscally prudent not to, it turned out to be fiscally disastrous. So we had to actually catch up in some respect. And that same, while not germane, that same reserve philosophy also impacts our entire city operations. So
you'd have to,
Bob, all yours.
Big of an increase here to fix this.
I can appreciate that.
Yes, I think your statements are accurate, though, in terms of your concerns. But
I appreciate the desire to have that in reserve. I just don't appreciate or can't appreciate increasing the rates for this 1 year to fail to achieve the $1,500,000 in reserve for fiscal 10 and 11. The following year, hopefully, the economy will improve. Hopefully, we'll have a dry summer. We'll have to water our grass to keep it green. And we'll get some of that money back and fill up that reserve to where we would like it to be.
Well, I think you have to understand, Bill Gainigan, but I think you have to understand what impact that would have then in the subsequent year. Because what you are going to need is a 5% increase this year and a 5% increase next year and a 5% increase the following year. If you don't have that 5% increase this year, you're probably going to be in the neighborhood of 7.5% to 8% next year, and then probably a 5% thereafter. So understand, we can run through that, but it's going to have an impact then the following year that you're going to have to raise your rates much higher.
I can understand that, but I just don't want to do anything this year. I just don't want to raise them this year. I think this year is critical. The number of homes in Geneva that have been foreclosed has increased. There's no real indication that the economy is going to improve this year. And I think that we ought to take that into account. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Hill. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So many things here, I don't quite know where to start. When people mention Pepper Valley, they forget it's the first street in Pepper Valley is almost 40 years old now, so indeed, we should be expecting that some of these newer subdivisions are beginning to cost money. I'd like to thank the Water and Sewer Departments because they've done a wonderful job. The one thing that's missing from this slide is the actual revenues each year. Yes, the rate study had a bigger number and the actual was much lower, but the revenues were also much lower. And fortunately, when the revenues came in lower, both departments managed to reduce their expenses so they could, the actual year-to-date came in low enough that our cash flow was not suffering. And remember, this carryover is intimately related to our cash flow. A carryover is just the cash flow between May and June. It's April and May. A fund like this doesn't, as Alderman Piper has mentioned in the past, and I've mentioned, you have to have a cash flow in these various funds. If you look last week, our latest numbers, this fund at the moment, thanks to the hard work of the Water and Sewer Department, is in reasonable condition. The monthly expenditures average about $600,000 in this fund. We're $7 million a year, $600,000 a month, where at the moment we have a cash and investments on hand are $1.9 million. That's a very nice number. It's looking very nice. We have accounts receivable of about 1 month. We have them just slightly over about a month and a half of accounts receivable. Very reasonable for a fund like this. Most people pay within a month. Some pay a little later than that. So this fund looks to me in very good shape. I think the council can bring up the question, and Alderman Hill is correct in bringing it up. At one point, when things were looking a little better, we decided that 3 months' worth of cash reserves was reasonable for your cash flow, for your cash on hand, your investments, for your carryover each year. Something like 3 months of monies were reasonable. Perfectly reasonable for Alderman Hill this year to say, in these times, there are a lot of agencies, and I'm familiar with one of them, and I'm sure the mayor is familiar with others, nonprofits, etc., that are running on cash flows of 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. This fund is in a position of having a cash flow of cash reserves of 3 months at the moment. So it's something that we could consider, but the representative from the water study is perfectly correct. If we squeeze this year on cash flow, we will have to make it up in the future. There's absolutely no question. You do want to get back to a position in all these funds where you're sitting with cash and investments, carry over if you wish at the end of the year, because these funds all have to balance each year. That's why they call it a carryover. But it's intimately related to the cash and investments on hand on any given. These things have a fairly constant flow, at least the way they're budgeted. They take care of the difference between summer and winter, and they have a fairly constant flow in terms of the budgeted numbers and the revenue numbers, so the cash on hand stays approximately constant. And the question is, it's beginning to go down in future projections. The water and sewer funds have worked very hard this year to keep the revenue, to keep the expenses down, because the revenues were down, and indeed the cash on hand has not fallen too badly at all, and I give them great credit for that. They've done a wonderful job. I'll also remind people that when we approved the water treatment plant, water rates were expected to double. Water and sewer rates were expected to double. They haven't quite gone up that much, to the credit of the water and sewer departments, who have really tried very hard to keep expenses down. It's more expensive, the water we get today. It's also much better. You don't get anything for free. I would remind you, there's two other possibilities, and I've noticed over the last 10 years that the consumption of water per household, per residential customer, is definitely down. There's no question. I know we've lost the jail and we've lost some industrial customers maybe, but the consumption per customer over the last 10 years is trending downwards. We all know we have low-flow shower heads. We buy a new dishwasher. We buy a new clothes washer in the basement. They're all modern energy efficient appliances. That means they consume less water as well as electricity. They're all designed for less water flow. So it shouldn't be surprising, and I think it's to the credit for the people in this town, that the water consumption per resident is trending down slightly. Another thing that I would like to ask Mr. Dinges about is over the last 10 years, I can remember lots of cases where we've had to spend money to lower the pumps in our wells. At this consumption level we're currently at, which is slightly lower than the past few years, are we still lowering the water level? Are we still going to see expenses for lowering our pump levels in the wells?
One thing that we're very fortunate in is the shallow wells in town are fairly stable. By fairly stable, I mean 1 to 2 feet have fluctuated in the past, I would say, 3 to 4 years. The deep wells over the entire area are going down. I do track those just like I showed you on the spreadsheet. I do not have that with me, but I'm not overly concerned about it, but that's one thing, again, that I look at as far as, okay, should we use more shallow well water versus deep well water? Is the is it going to cost more money to pump it? I look at also the cost of lowering the wells. The new wells that we installed over off of Peck Road are doing really well. The deep well that we lowered a few years ago at well 6 there at Caneville and Randall, or Kessling and Randall, that's doing quite well. So I'm not going to sit here and project that in the next 5 years we have to lower a well. I don't see it. But I don't know also what we're going to be looking at with shallow well 10 if we do pull that and do a...
You have some money in here for maintenance and possible lowering of wells in the future?
No.
My guess is that's the direction it's going to go in.
No. There is no money in there for that. The only thing that I've got in there is for well 10 to rehab that, which is right now $30,000. Well 3, we have to abandon per IEPA. So that's really the only two things I have in here for well maintenance. So I'm being conservative in that respect. One of the, you want to throw another expense out there that I haven't put in there. We talked about the automatic meter reading. That's not in there, but there's no money in there for water tower maintenance as far as if we're going to paint them in the near future or do any other type of maintenance on it besides cleaning it and inspecting it. So that's where I've tried to be conservative and tried to be smart in my projections.
Well, as I say, I thought the most important thing is to give your departments credit because these are separate enterprise funds. Their books are kept completely separately from city books. And at the moment, the cash and investments is sitting in a reasonable place for a fund like this. And this is better than a lot of people out there in the world today. And the accounts receivable doesn't look particularly high, so it doesn't appear we're having a big problem with a large number of people not being able to pay. I think this fund, if accountant looking like this at this, would say this is in pretty good shape compared to a lot of businesses I've been seeing lately. So, this is to your credit that we're in this good shape. But I also agree that if water consumption stays lower, and my private guess is it is, we're not going to ever get back again to 130 million cubic feet. That's just not likely to be in the cards. So my guess is we're going to have to come up with a rate increase because the cost of the energy, the cost of the chemicals, it takes energy to pump the water out of the ground, it takes energy to clean it up, and it takes energy to pump it up to the water tower so it's there when we want to take a shower. So, and those costs are not going to go down, and we can't expect personnel costs to go down because you're running a very thin staff at the moment. So my guess is we're going to be faced with an increase, and I hope MP Sharp sharpens their pencils too, because 4% sounds like a lot in these times, but I think we have to face that this nice clean water we've got is costing us a little more, and we're going to have to pay for it.
Thank you. And I just one other thing I want to add is I get very concerned when I'm having to cut back on things that I know will benefit communities, such as sanitary sewer lining in the Geneva East area. When I have to steal, money from there to balance the deficit, I get real concerned. And I know the EPA is very open to me, you know, presenting my case to them when I submit a report that we had sanitary sewer overflows and why we can't fix it because of the budget. But I still have to answer to the residents over there, too, when I get phone calls.
To put the number in context, the number we're talking, $1.5 million, is about 2.5 months' expense for this fund. So, you know, you don't want to cut that. I might see cutting it down to 2 months, but once you get below that, you start getting into cash flow problems, and if you ever have to borrow money, short-term loan, then, of course, you're diverging quickly, and you're going to cost yourself an awful lot of money. So. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. According to my notes, Maladra, Pollack, and Singer.
I'm done.
Maladra, no. Mr. Pollack, and Mr. Singer.
Thank you, Mayor. Earlier, you alluded to the $1.5 million that is by ordinance, correct, Mayor? Is it by ordinance or not?
Not by ordinance, by city policy.
By city policy. So
I should say council policy, excuse me.
Okay. So, but if we're in a pinch, it is conceivable to alter that, correct?
Certainly, if it's the will of the council.
Okay. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mr. Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Bob, you alluded earlier to some revenue that's been generated by the cell phone people, and that there's an interest from others that are hoping to come on board. Have we looked at the rates that we are charging these people? Are we within the ballpark where we feel we should be? Are other communities charging more or less, or where are we?
We're doing very well. We're near the high end on that.
High end. Well, that's very good. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Anyone else on the dais? Mr. Piper.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I know that we've had some discussion about possibly pinching on the $1.5 million and the 3 month reserve. I think that's a rodeo we've all been to before and probably don't want to go again. So I'm hoping that we can absolutely avoid that. I think you've done a great job, Bob, of keeping this where it needs to be. And just for perspective standpoint, Chuck, you're absolutely right. My bill's way too high, but the average that it was for years, if you say it's $50, we're looking at $2.38. I mean, at the end of the day, is that a lot? Well, no, not for really what you're getting now. And I have the same discussion that you have with people not realizing that we have a water softener in town. I don't know how that is, but they still bring it up occasionally. So, thank you.
Anyone else for the dais? City Administrator McKittrick, and then anyone in the audience, I'll entertain comments or questions.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to touch on a couple of things. You know, I understand the council's reservation about increasing rates, and I agree. I mean, if we didn't need to increase the rates, we would not be bringing this recommendation forward. Again, this is a need. If we do nothing in 3 years, we will not be able to provide water and sewer services to our constituents, to our citizenry, nor will we be able to pay back the loan to the IEPA. So obviously we need to take some action so that that doesn't happen. The $1.5 million in reserves is a city council policy. Yes, we can dip below that if we need to. But recall that we have the issue, same issue in our general fund, where we got down to, you may recall in the presentation last year that I made, 41 days of operating expenses. If we have a major capital expense and we've dipped below that, and that's $750 for each, $750 for sewer and $750 for water. And if we dip below that, let's say we go down to $400,000 or $500,000 and have a major catastrophe with some of our infrastructure, we're going to be in big trouble.
We're going to be borrowing money.
Right. We're going to be, if we can.
Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to reiterate was that Bob had mentioned IEMA, the Illinois Emergency Management Association legislation.
Sludge.
The radium in the sludge. This is a proposal that is likely to go through a piece of legislation. And again, I reiterate, elected officials listen to elected officials. This is something where we need your help, because it will cost us three times the amount as it does right now, $150,000, let's say, minimum. And it's moving forward. And as Bob said, we've written letters. Staff has gone to Springfield to testify against this, and it continues to move forward. This is a big ticket item. This is not an extra couple of dollars a month. This is going to cost our taxpayers a lot more than that if this gets put into place. And the other thing that I would also just like to say regarding the wages, the projected percentage, that can be adjusted. I mean, we're talking about $150,000 over a three-year period. Cut that in half, you know, take it down to $75,000. It still doesn't impact the $1.3 million that we need to raise over the next 3 years to pay our bills, to keep our doors open, and to meet our loan obligations. So that, I would ask you not to throw out the baby with the bathwater. If we need to adjust those wages, then so be it. But I think that we need to move this forward as fiscally conservatively as we can. But if we don't move it forward, either tonight or in the near future, we're going to start falling behind, and we will start dipping inadvertently into our reserves to pay our bills. That's all. Thank you.
From the dais, anyone else? Mr. Piper?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mayor, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was looking at this earlier, and I think just for the benefit of the folks following along on their treadmills and watching the repeat of this, one of our biggest problems that we had, that city staff has, is the unfunded mandates.
Mm-hmm.
Not only the sludge, but I'm looking at the Cemetery Oversight Act that the dirtbags from Burr Oak saddled us with. That was fantastic. But even the FOIA requests are going to cost us a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And just for everybody at home, that's your boss walking in saying, here's more work, you're not getting a raise. We'll figure out ways to do it. And kudos to the staff for being able to cut the budget by 20%, which you're getting these little surprises on a weekly basis. I mean, you get a lot of these throughout the year, and we generally don't discuss them because there's nothing we can do about it. So tonight we just happened to, you know, Bob brought up the sludge, which is going to cost a fortune, and I'm looking at the emails and the other things that we're getting, and these are things that we just simply have to do and have to deal with. That, you know, when people, they don't realize it's a little blurb in the paper, and we don't even talk about it in this room, but it's extremely important because it affects everybody. What happened at Burr Oak is going to affect everybody in Geneva. You know, the FOIA requests are going to affect everybody here. Everything is intertwined, so when you see it on the news, it isn't that far away. You know, thank you.
Well said.
We could reduce the sludge.
We could
stop using our garbage disposals and putting it in the solid waste instead.
Just for my friends at the wastewater plant, they like to call it biosolids.
Ah, thank you.
Conan O'Brien and Jay Leno just went through a battle royale, and you're trying to be funny over here?
Trying to take their place.
Mr. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. All I'm suggesting is that we do not have the increase for fiscal 10 and 11, and probably I would support one for the following year to make up for what we're not going to have in reserves. But I think just the time and the evidence of less use of water and hopefully another rainy summer. That's just something that nobody could guarantee. Would enable us to not increase the rates this fiscal year. That's all I'm asking for. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Bob, you did a great job, too. Sorry to be the only fly in the ointment.
The only biosolid in the entire thing. anyone from the audience?
Biosolid.
Anyone?
Jerry.
Oh, Jerry, I couldn't even see your hand up, man. Sorry about that. Mr. Cass, welcome back.
Okay. Curiosity, the
water billed compared to water pumped, do we know what that percentage is? What we billed compared to what we pumped.
It's about a million gallons.
We're right now down to about a 10% water loss.
10%, okay.
That's good.
It's hard now with the water main break to get a good feel of that. But.
Well, that's what's bringing up because the software package you were talking about would help probably alleviate that, some of that?
It could.
Okay. Let's see here. The type of water meters that we use for 2-inch and larger, what type of meter do we use?
Are you asking what
type?
Brand?
No, just the mag meter is we use in...
Some are mag meters, some are compound meters, some are... It depends on the type of business.
What I was getting at was we found that, I don't know if you noticed that too, the mag meters have been more accurate on the commercial end, mm-hmm. which has increased the revenues, showing that there has been loss with the substantial meters.
Right. Every other year we go through a... we have a company come in to make sure that the meters are reading correctly. So we have a meter testing program for anything over 2 inches. So that's all tested.
Okay. All right. The only thing I was going to bring up too is for revenue source is, and this is something that would be from the council and the mayor, is a standby charge for fire services. Any commercial building who had anything from 4-inch, 2-inch, would actually have a standby charge on their city bill. Because in reality, the system is designed for fire and personnel and residential customers. But there's a thing being talked about for revenue increase or for revenues is the fire standby charge for on commercial buildings that require a separate service for fire and sprinkling system, something that we can use for revenue sources. Maybe not to burden the homeowner as much, but it's still spread out. And since they are considered use or for standby for in case of the design of the system, their use of the water size mains and pumping and storage is related to that also and part of engineering.
And certainly the flow issue is also.
Right.
No question about that. Yeah.
So this is something new, and I don't know if a lot of towns have enacted it, but this is something that's been talked about, I've heard, and something that maybe we could look at also too and see how that would work and how that would create revenues for our community. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Kiss. Anyone else in the audience? Folks, I'll entertain a motion to consider approval, I'll entertain a motion to approve water and sewer rate study as presented by Repi Sharp and edified by Mr. Dingus and Mr. Van Gescom. I'm looking to approve the study as presented, and that study as presented includes those proposed rate increases.
That's what I was asking.
Right. For future council consideration, of course, but...
So I'll move.
Second. I'd like to clarify. This is a approval of the cash fund portion of this is phase one.
Right. Phase two is the actual...
Exactly. That's when they will... They will come and present what they feel are the rates that we should enact. This right now is just to say, yes, these are our expenses, our projected revenues, and such. So, am I explaining that good enough?
That's correct. It's basically what is the cash flow projections. And we give you an idea of the rate increase, what it might be. Some of my earlier presentations 20 years ago basically didn't have that little caveat, and so everybody was wondering, well, what does this mean as far as a potential rate increase? So it gives you an idea as to what the range would be. It's not going to be exactly 5%. It may be down to 4%. It may be up to 6% on some. depending upon the use. But 5%.
What will determine the final number that's not in the package today?
It'll be the cost of service analysis. We go through a cost of service analysis for the various classifications of users and determining what proportion of cost to make sure that they're paying their proportion.
It's to Mr. Piper's question earlier in the evening. My water bill is $50 to $100.
So how you split the 5% amongst the various user groups?
That's correct.
But there will be no changes in your projection on either revenues or expenses?
None. It'll be the same.
So by voting for it tonight, we're accepting the projections on revenue and expenses that include things like salaries, etc., which the council has not yet determined.
Right. That I can't answer too, but it's the basis for then the development of my rate, what the rate adjustment would be. So I mean, this is the first part of it. I need to have an idea if this is acceptable. I don't know if you would have leeway. I would assume you would have leeway with
problem as we usually have here, because we haven't determined the salaries yet, and yet you have to put some number in.
That's right.
And
but we're not going to determine salaries 3 years in advance. This year anyway.
But we should be.
It's just projections. It's projections that we can use. But the real rate increase for your consideration will be at your next COW meeting. I'm hoping I can complete all of this. If there was changes, I probably would need a little bit of time. But if you approve these cash flow projections, my intent is to have our rate design back to you in 2 weeks.
February 8th.
Yes.
Which your slide indicated earlier this evening. Questions or comments? Yep, we have a motion by Piper and a second by Maladra.
What date is it coming?
Madam Recording Secretary, please take the vote.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino.
Nay.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Nay.
Sam Hill.
Nay.
Greg Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Nay.
Ray Pollack.
Nay.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Regrettably, folks. Wait, actually,
what's the vote?
Forgive me, I miscounted. I thought it was 6-4. It's a tie vote. I, as chair, get to act and break in that tie if I so choose. And I, based on the commentary heard tonight from virtually every council member, that the Water and Sewer Department has done a yeoman's work. It's not comfortable to come here tonight and present this information. I'm certain it's not for our friends at Rempe Sharp either. But we have, as Alderman Brown and others have said, a fiduciary responsibility to make certain that our Public Works Department is working correctly and with the appropriate funds necessary. And I proudly vote aye.
How are you actually going to vote? You said you were probably going to vote.
Probably.
Sorry.
Yeah. That's how I heard it the first time. Yeah, so did I. And then I remember.
Proudly.
Probably.
But again, this allows our friends at Rempe Sharp to move on to phase two. There's no guarantees. What we've more or less said to you tonight is here's the ramparts, with a little bit of wiggle room each way. So we'll look forward to seeing numbers on February 8th. So,
is phase two already paid for? Is there
phase two work from Rempe Sharp?
Yeah.
Has the work hasn't even
what's the cost on that?
It is included in their engineering contract, yes.
Okay, thanks.
Hope that wasn't a surprise.
Very good. Still hasn't moved in 20 years, for God's sake. We are in our new business, ladies and gentlemen. Any new business?
To consider an ordinance that people cannot sell bottled water in Geneva anymore?
It's like California did. No plastic. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Just in general.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Dinges has new business. Pardon me?
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. What's up with that?
Hopefully it's going away.
Hopefully it's been...
I'll defer to the committee, but there is an important update I asked Dan to present, but at the late hour, I forgot. So, Dan, a couple minutes, can you give us an update?
Yeah.
Yes, it is germane. All of you probably received an email from the Ogle people as well recently, so
Just a quick update. Back in November, I believe, Mike Buffington came and gave a presentation on a proposed wind energy project north of Rochelle. And we have postponed that. I've met with several of you to discuss that project. We actually put that project at the time. We were saying January. Well, January here is just about here and gone. We're working with Rochelle, trying to get better numbers before we come back to you. So we're looking at probably the end of February before we would be coming back to give you information and hopefully better information. And ultimately, you guys will be able to decide. We're also trying to get some grants. The information on grants that we potentially may be receiving to see how that plays with the numbers. So we want to have better numbers. I know we didn't have great numbers before, but we wanted to get it out there so you guys knew it was there. Now we're trying to refine those numbers.
So Rochelle is proceeding?
They will not be voting until February, but between Rochelle staff and Geneva staff, we're working with a wind turbine manufacturer to get better numbers and try to work out a project on that site.
Okay. Anyone? Questions or comments for Dan? And Dan, just very quickly, the project that Batavia has, St. Charles, has signed on with.
Yes, that's a project. St. Charles is a member of IMEA, Illinois Municipal Electric Association, and IMEA has signed on with a development in that same area, actually, 39 and 88 area, to purchase, I think it was 75... It's a 217-megawatt project, and IMEA purchased 70 megawatts. So being a member of IMEA, St. Charles is therefore a will have some wind energy under their portfolio.
Interesting. Any other comments or questions for Mr. Dinges?
Dan, they won't be importing any energy. They'll be simply selling into the grid.
Right. It'll actually go into Rochelle behind the meter, similar to like our GGF. So in theory, it'll stay within the Rochelle Municipal Corporate.
Right.
Thank you, Dan. Mr. Singer.
No, I want to have a conversation with Stephanie after the meeting.
That would be out of order.
I don't think she'll...
Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Piper makes the motion. Mr. Hill makes the second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Yeah, thank you, Steph. I don't think so.